not fully suspended, may lead to further UN sanctions. Former Newark Mayor Sharp James was indicted on corruption charges today for allegations involving land sales and improper use of city-issued credit cards. The 71-year-old faces 33 counts of fraud for approving the sale of city-owned land.
This is the Quality News Network. A day after the second biggest point drop of the year, the Dow Jones was down more than 200 points at the close of trading today. We'll have the final numbers from Wall Street coming up in our business block. In Phoenix today, two television news helicopters covering a police pursuit crashed into each other in midair. Both went down and were on fire. There were at least three fatalities reported. The House of Representatives may pass the Homeland Security bill as early as today and send it to President Bush. The Senate approved a package of security measures yesterday by an 85-8 vote. The bill contains 9/11 Commission recommendations, including more federal money to high-risk cities and states. It also includes tighter screening of air and sea cargo. The Shiite-led Iraqi government has dismissed the Sunni political bloc's 11 demands for more political say. A spokesman for Prime Minister Nouri al-Maliki accused the minority group, which is threatening to pull out of the coalition government, of, quote, pressuring and blackmail. Near Islamabad's Red Mosque today, a suicide bomber killed 13 people. 71 were wounded. Earlier in the day, student demonstrators clashed with government forces. They demanded the return of a pro-Taliban cleric. They were also critical of Pakistani President Pervez Musharraf. Afghan elders are negotiating with Taliban militants who are holding 22 South Korean missionaries, some of whom are reportedly in bad health. A South Korean presidential envoy is expected to arrive in the country to discuss the release of the prisoners who were kidnapped last week. The State Department announced the U.S. and India have reached an agreement on a civilian nuclear deal. The negotiations between the two countries have gone on for more than a year. Former Soviet President Mikhail Gorbachev criticized the United States today for causing disorder around the world by trying to build an empire. The former leader singled out President Bush in particular. Vice President Dick Cheney will undergo a procedure to have a new defibrillator implanted tomorrow. The battery in his current one needs to be replaced. According to a report commissioned by NASA, on at least two occasions, despite warnings, astronauts flew drunk. You are listening to the Quality News Network.
Hey, what are you doing?
I'm washing my car. You want to help?
No, I don't want to be a polluter.
Whoa. I'm not polluting. I'm just washing a car.
If your car wash water is going down the street and into the bay, then you're a polluter.
Oh, really?
I'll help you clean this up, but what you should do next time is go to a local car wash.
And pay money?
Pay money for them to recycle the water and keep all that pollution out of the bay. I think it's really worth it.
Taking care of the marine sanctuary is your duty. From Mayos at Monterey High.
Don't dread the Fed. Sure, the Federal Reserve is raising interest rates. Seems like it happens every day around noon. But does that affect your home loan? Not necessarily. Talk to the pros at Gold Coast Financial. They can help you bid your dread of interest rates goodbye. Don't wait another minute. Start living in your dream home while sending your interest rate nightmares packing. Gold Coast Financial. 649-8757. 649-8757. Gold Coast Financial. 831-649-8757.
A new study on the use of marijuana finds that even limited use can increase the chance of becoming seriously mentally ill by 40%. The research appears in the British medical journal The Lancet. The Commerce Department reported that in the second quarter, the U.S. economy grew at a 3.4% rate. That is a tenth of a point higher than analysts had expected. It is also the strongest economic growth in more than a year. At his sentencing hearing, the former chief of Quest Communications was ordered by a federal judge to pay $52 million that he earned through illegal stock sales. Joe Nacio was also sentenced to 6 years in prison. He was convicted earlier this year of making the money when he knew that the company faced financial problems. The judge also imposed a $19 million fine on him. The world's largest candy maker, Cadbury Schweppes, has delayed the sale of its American beverage unit, which includes Dr. Pepper and 7-Up. PepsiCo, the owner of Aquafina bottled water, will change its labels to indicate that the drink comes from tap water, a public water source. Light sweet crude is trading at $77.02 a barrel on the New York Mercantile Exchange. And at the close of Wall Street this week, the Dow Jones was down 208 points at 13,265. The NASDAQ down 37. The S&P 500 down 24. There's always more at our website, qualitynewsnetwork.com. I'm Allie Dramaugh.
Okay! Don't you!
South America!
Now, Head On with Bob Kincaid. Head On is brought to you every night by the West Virginia District Council of Carpenters and Millwrights. Union Carpenters and Millwrights, they're building the American dream. Free speech isn't free if you don't use it. So call Bob now at 1-877-4-HEAD-ON. That's 1-877-443-2366. Now, here's Bob Kincaid on the Head On Radio Network.
Well, howdy! Well, look at us. We've made it to Friday. And more importantly, we've... Oh, boy, knock wood. Let's see, this is pretty close to solid. Yeah, there we go. Knockwood. We'll make it with the Comrex through another night. The clouds are gathering together. We had barely gotten done with the program last night, when another world-beating cluster of thunderstorms came through. And, my God. Well, we've had, it's the darndest thing. We've had more thunderstorms this month than many in recent memory can recall. And yet at the same time, no matter how much rain falls out of these things, we still are in drought conditions because it all just runs away. I'm no meteorologist. I don't know that it has any particular meaning. I'll tell you what, it's 7 minutes past the hour, and rather than me babbling on or anything, we're going to go straight to the phones because our good friend Andy is calling from the UK, and I hate to run up his phone bill unnecessarily with him just listening to me yammer on hold. Hey, Andy, welcome to the program.
Hey, Bob, how's it going?
I'm well. Yourself?
Yeah, not too bad. I rang up to complain, but then I found I had very little to complain about because it's not your fault.
Ah, the complaint department was closed?
No. Well, it's not actually your fault. It's something QNN stick in with the end of their news.
One of their PSA messages? Or...
Yeah, I would like to announce that the Horn does not advocate the use of a car wash. They're expensive and they cost electricity, which is polluting.
I've heard that a couple of times. It sounds a little strange, and I've written it off as being something localized to the fact that they're desperate to protect Monterey Bay.
Yeah, probably. I mean, the thing is, they've done the usual, what was it Steph calls them? Rod up the butt liberal thing of, oh no, the bay's being polluted. What's the most obvious source of pollution? Runoff from the drain. What goes into the drains? Cars! People wash their cars! Of course, they're forgetting the chemical area and the factories and the people upstream that are dumping crap in the river and the people up drift on the coast that are dumping crap into the sea.
Yeah, well.
The problem is not the car washes. And I'd like to say the Horn advocates using a biologically safe and ecologically friendly detergent and doing it yourself, you lazy buggers.
Exactly. Exactly.
Basically. But yeah, it kind of annoys me that you're carrying a PSA for another group and they just slip it in at the end of their news there.
Yeah, we have no control of it. But in fact, it's not so much at the end as it is in the middle. If it was the end, we could do something
middle,
about
otherwise it. Otherwise, you'd drop it.
Yeah. And what's more, it's I take it it's produced by the local high school there.
Yeah, it sounds like it is. I guess it's cheap.
But no, some of these are legitimate issues. Another one of the ones that they run, Andy, has to do with fertilizing one's lawn.
Yeah, well, yeah. I mean, this is the thing. They seem to have a few other better ones. I mean, like people going on about changing the oil. I mean, the people shouldn't need to be told this sort of stuff.
But we do, Andy. We
do. I know. But I mean, that's part of the culture of idiocy that's been instilled into America, isn't it?
Well, it is. I don't think it's idiocy so much as it's a culture of negligence.
Well, negligence, idiocy. Do you know what I mean? Just complete unattachment to the world around you.
Yeah, just sort of do it and move on. You know, I mean, I change my own oil from time to time, and I always take it down to the local Ford dealership.
Yeah.
Because while they don't dispose of it entirely correctly, they burn it.
Right.
And I can't burn it. I burn old motor oil. The Department of Environmental Protection will be on me like a duck on a June bug.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
But during the wintertime, they've got...
It's equal to Ford turnover per year or something.
Right, but they've got, an oil burner that they use to heat their shop, and at least it's being disposed of semi-sanely.
Yeah, well, I mean, the idea in Britain is that you recycle all of these things, and in principle that can be done, but in practice there's never anywhere close enough for anyone that's feasible. So, yeah, for those sort of things you have to take it to a garage. But they're a lot worse on the environmental pollution and stuff here than they are over there. So, yeah, we at least with garages and stuff, they do industrially recycle it and things. But.
Precisely. It's very interesting that you called, though, Andy. I'm glad you did, because... someone, I forget who it was, took your name in vain a couple of nights ago, hoping that you would call in to tell us about the flooding.
Oh, right, the flooding. Well, I've been right in the middle of the rainiest bit, and it hasn't flooded once, but that's because we have a very good river, and the runoff's not too bad.
What is the river there that goes through Cardiff?
It's the Taff.
Okay.
Yeah, it's not a massive one, but it hasn't been really badly built along because of the terrain it goes through. It's quite hilly. So it's not been pent up anywhere, and you don't end up with the upstream flooding, which then causes downstream flooding. You know what I mean?
Which is the sort of thing that's exactly the thing that's happened to the Thames.
Oh, yeah. Well, the Thames is ridiculous. You know, they've been building, what was it, the last 10, 15 years, they built like 3 million homes on the floodplain that the Environment Agency and all the experts said, no, don't build them there, stupid idea. But they were built anyway because, you know, people want to live near London and the house prices are enormous, so that's where the building industry want to build houses.
Oh, so this isn't... because the question was, is this some sort of natural disaster or does man have a hand in it? It sounds
like... Oh, man, certainly has a hand in it. I mean, there are areas where the defense systems worked and there are areas where they didn't. And, of course, the Environment Agency would tell you, oh, it's a one-in-60-year event. We couldn't possibly have planned for this. And I don't like to measure events like that. I think events are what just happened rather than, oh, this doesn't happen except once every 150 years. Doesn't it? It just did. I don't think it's relevant as to how often it occurs. You know, shouldn't we have planned for things like this?
Well, yeah. Who could have imagined a Category 4 hurricane hitting New Orleans? Well, everybody.
Well, exactly. And this is the same thing. I mean, the areas that got flooded are not areas that you'd think, oh, my God, it's flooded. Who'd have guessed? You know? There are areas where you walk along and you go up a little slope and there's the river up the slope from where you've just been. It's like, ah, hang on a minute. You know what I mean? My sister lives in...
Yeah, this doesn't bode well.
No, not at all. I mean, my sister lives in Gloucestershire and she lives in Cheltenham. I think she's okay because she lived uphill a bit, but lots of bits of Gloucester and bits of Gloucestershire turned into islands because it's just little bumps and the rest of it effectively forms a big bowl.
But you have had tons and tons of rain.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I mean, they had, like, I think some areas had nearly a year's worth.
And there had been certain portions of the island that were under near drought or near drought conditions, were there not?
Well, yeah, for years we've had problems in the southeast in the Thames area with hosepipe bans from the water agencies and stuff like that. But, of course, those things weren't really droughts either. We had plenty of rain. It's just that the water companies were all privatized. And as soon as they were privatized, all the pipes started leaking because they didn't do any more maintenance. The estimates that Thames Water, the company that supplies London, is that they waste two-thirds of the drinking water of London every day. Drinking and washing, sorry. That counts all washing machine use, dishwashers, taps for washing up, everything, yeah? And they managed to waste that much in every day, you know, so...
And that's not a situation where the consumer can really have anything to do with it. You can
no, but we're the ones that pay the extra
right.
On our income, on the wage, on the what do you call it, on the bills. When the water company gets permission from the government to do major work, they're allowed to put the prices up to cover the cost. Nothing about the massive profits, of course, that they've been making. Nothing said about them.
That's and yet they're not called to account for their failing infrastructure.
Well, look, you know, the other day, this is the key one. Now, listen to this carefully, Bob. You know our railways are being privatized?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay, well, the Transport Secretary said on TV, as if it was like something to be proud of, that the new upgrades to the rail system aren't going to be paid for by the taxpayer. Isn't that good? And my point would be, you privatised those companies. People made a lot of money out of that. Why aren't the companies going to pay for the... You know, why is it a surprise that the companies are paying for their own upgrades? Why was there even a question that the taxpayer would fund it? Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And this is the thing that people in government don't get. We see these things and we go, that's ridiculous. You're a bunch of capitalist fascist... You know what?
Wankers. We can say wankers.
Yeah, bastards, idiots, fools. Oh, I've got a whole load of other words that get much, much worse, but we won't do that to Agnes.
But there was...
I mean, the whole flooding thing is because the companies that were contracted to do the maintenance of flood defences or build the flood defences hadn't done them or were still in consultation to do them. And, you know, where they were built, they worked, but most of the ones that were built way back when the Environment Agency did it itself. You know, I mean, the whole situation with the flooding, it could have easily been avoided, but...
Most of this is post-World War II stuff, though, isn't it?
Well, the defenses.
No, I mean, yeah, the flood mitigation, the water pipelines, this is all stuff that happened in the rebuild subsequent to the Second World War.
Well, yeah, a lot of it, yeah. I mean, with things like pipes and stuff, I think the down in the Thames area, I think they're still using the Victorian one.
Oh, my
They certainly
God.
Offer sewerage and stuff like that, and that's another problem, because, of course, when you get flooding like this, and you've got old, overstuffed, under-drained sewers, then you get contamination of large areas as well.
So the departure of Tony Blair has not created an immediate heaven on earth. Then.
Well, Gordon Brown was the one that allowed Tony or didn't allow Tony to achieve anything with the money anyway, so there's no change at all. Gordon Brown and Tony Blair...
Because Gordon Brown was at Exchequer, right?
Yeah, he was the Chancellor, yeah, yeah. He held the purse string. Because we have a somewhat different system over here with that side of things. The Prime Minister, if the Chancellor is individually strong enough, as in has support of enough MPs on his own, like Brown did, then the Prime Minister can't do something. If he announces something without clearing it with the Chancellor, and the Chancellor doesn't want him to do it, or just feels like it, he can stop it.
So it's almost as if in that system the Chancellor holds, individual
veto power.
Plenipotentiary power?
Yeah, well, veto power, if you like.
Okay.
So, you know, everything that's happened today or not in terms of money or achievements of the Labour Party, you can pin on Gordon Brown just as easily as you can pin on Tony Blair. You know, it's like the whole war thing. He's distancing himself from the war and, oh, we'd take a different stance. Well, he funded the war.
Which is analogous to the situation with our own Congress where people, I want to end the war, I want to end the war. Then why do you keep voting to fund it?
Yeah, exactly. You know, I mean, he's launched himself on a change, idea, I guess. And, you know, we all know what politicians mean when they say it's time for change. They mean it's time for me to do what I want to do, which is the same as the last guy, but we'll just try and repackage it and sell it to all you unsuspecting buggers who are too stupid to know the difference anyway.
It's time for change means I want to get my front feet in the trough for a while.
Well, yeah, basically, you know. I mean, you know, Gordon Brown was going to get probably quite a nice, comfortable retirement if he didn't become Prime Minister. If he becomes Prime Minister of Britain and does what the Carlyle Group want, he ends up with a seat on the board when he retires, just like Blair's going to get. And that's lucrative, man. I mean, the Carlyle Group have got their fingers in every pie. You want to believe they're profiting from the war in Iraq. We know they're profiting from the war in Iraq.
But they're profiting from a lot of other stuff, too.
Oh, yeah, hell yeah. They're profiting from just about anything that you or I would consider immoral, amoral, disgusting, and reprehensible. And pretty much everything else that's normal business practice, too.
Yeah, all of that, and they're working toward making a profit from the things that are indispensable.
Well, yeah, I mean, they're already, you know, the global carbon tax thing that's being touted. You know who that's going to apply to in the end?
Ordinary stiffs.
People who breathe.
Yeah.
Because we breathe out carbon dioxide, and so, of course, we're the polluters. It's like cows. Cows are polluters. How are cows polluters? They fart methane. Oh, really? Oh, well, what do trees do? Methane breaks down into carbon in the air under sunlight, and trees suck up carbon and turn it into themselves.
Well, it's very interesting you would mention that, because the head of the West Virginia Coal Association over here.
Let me guess. Carry on.
No, he said. It's okay. He basically said that it's okay to burn as much coal as we want because West Virginia has a lot of trees. And the trees will suck up all the carbon dioxide we burn that we create on the East Coast.
Well, that's a really good one. You got to admire him for trying.
But it's also insane.
Start laughing and fall over when he said that.
Well, that's the problem. Nobody around here laughs. Everybody goes, yeah, coal keeps the lights on.
Mm-hmm.
Jeez. Oh, I've got a question for you from the chat room, Andy, about the status of the internet there where you are. Are you privatized? Is the internet there privatized, or is it a public function? Does government maintain a regulatory stance with regard to the internet, or are you at the whim of the free market?
Well, we have regulatory bodies for all industries, so there's no open, flagrant capitalist action like there is in America as regards, you know, provision of web service. You know, there is actual competition because Ofcom makes sure there is. They're not always the nicest people to deal with, the web companies, but, you know, ultimately you can achieve what you need to get achieved, and generally the web services work. You know, I mean, it's not like, oh, there's a thunderstorm somewhere within 300 miles, web goes out. You know what I mean? We don't have that problem here, not at all. I mean, I can use my computer during thunderstorms because I have a surge protector, and BT guarantee that any lightning strike on their service will break it down there rather than down here.
Well, oddly enough, the nature of our problems here has not been the internet connection. It's been the, POTS, I forget what it really stands for, but it's plain old telephone service. The regular cable pair telephone lines that come in here have been the source of our problems. It never comes down the line that's carrying the DSL.
Well, my telephone line and my internet line are the same thing. So at the moment, Winamp is still playing you and me talking, and I'm talking on the same phone that's all running down the same line.
What kind of bandwidth do you have?
Me? 1 megabit, but I can upgrade if I wanted to pay the extra to 10.
Okay, to 10?
All on this line.
Wow.
Yeah. And you know what? It's a standard phone line.
Sure, yeah, because the infrastructure work was done previously, right?
Well, the phone line, what we found out, we British people found out, was that if you use original copper phone lines only between the local exchange, like the box in the street that we have, and the house, you don't need to upgrade that bit, and that's the most expensive bit because that's the one that there's most of. So all you had to do was upgrade all the old copper wire from the box exchange to the main junction exchange, and from there onto the main hub. And if you upgraded all that to fiber optic, which of course they did, then you can everybody in the whole of Britain can have 10 megabit connection on their original phone line.
Amazing. And yet...
Yeah, and it wasn't even... I mean, when you're talking about replacing all of it, it's actually quite cheap because you're buying all the fiber optic cable in bulk. And, of course, it was upgraded before they sold off the rights for other people to use the service as well. NTL operate over here as well. They did it all before British Telecom became BT.
Kind of convenient the way that works. So
they charged us, the taxpayer, but I suppose
right. So the people did all the fixing, and then they sold it off It was sold off for the purposes of profit taking.
Oh well, that's what everything is. You know, all infrastructure has that happen to it. That's capitalism.
Well, it happened.
The military.
I think we talked about it before. Our water system here in this little tiny bit of nothing, middle of nowhere where we live, the taxpayers shelled out a ton of money to put in a what we call city water, and the minute it was done, it was hustled off to West Virginia American Water Company, which is owned by American Water Company, which is owned by a British holding company, which is ultimately owned by the single worst polluter in Germany.
Yeah. I mean, you know, the privatization thing is standard. I mean, you know, where did the internet come from? Is that they allowed all these private companies to make all this money off Google and that. Google wouldn't have any money if the US taxpayer and the British taxpayer and all the NATO taxpayers hadn't funded the NATO communication system that became the internet. You know, without our tax monies, the internet wouldn't exist. Look at, commercial air travel. You know, they were handed, like, this is a perfectly functioning transatlantic airliner that you can use for carrying passengers. We're not going to charge you much for it. Go and make money. And American Airlines is born. do you know what I mean?
Oh, sure.
It just happens time and time again. The public are just constantly used as a teat for business. I mean, you know, if you want to talk about benefits and benefit use, then the people to look at are the super rich and the corporations. They're the ones that use benefits.
Well, I was reading, again, this magnificent, wonderful book. I don't know if it would be of any benefit to you, Andy, but because it focuses on tax policy in the U.S., but David K. Johnston's book, Perfectly Legal, is just one hair-raising, screaming, hissy fit about every paragraph. And it's charming because there was one mention of a 1997 Tax Reform Act here that one analyst said it should have been named the Drug Dealers Tax Reform Act of 1997, because it entailed the IRS being told not to look at certain quadrants of income reportage. What it boils down to is what we're doing in the U.S. here, and I imagine it's probably something similar where you are. A public policy decision has been made to let the wage-earning class, whether it be lower class, middle class, or upper class, let the wage-earning class bear the burden of carrying civil government forward, and giving the coupon-clipping class, say that three times quickly, coupon-clipping class, giving them a complete pass, as if somehow their money was sacred, but wages are not.
I'm sorry, I've got to stop you there. You see, you've gone into the liberal righteous anger mode, and that's perfectly understandable, and I know why. But the point is, you're missing the point. We've always had it that way. We've always. This is called capitalism, or feudalism, as it used to be known. It was known as imperialism for a while. This is it. This is what it is. They take everything that's ours, and if we try to take anything back, they send the police or the army in to kill us. Okay? That's how it works. Now, unfortunately, you'll get accused of being a Marxist at this point. The only answer to that is, well, I can't help it if Marx was right.
Exactly.
You know,
exactly.
I'm not a Marxist.
To be fair, you've got a lot longer history with direct taxation where you are than we do here.
Well, I mean, you know, the whole 16th Amendment was what did it for you guys, and if you even just cursorily look into that, it's really obvious that it's a big scam and you're all being robbed. I mean, none of you should return your tax forms this year and just say, okay, I'll pay my taxes when you hand me the piece of paper that shows me I have to do it.
Well, there was recently the story that went out over the, I think it was the Associated Press, of the lawyer in Louisiana who had been charged in, you know, by the federal government, you know, serious stuff, charged with felonies. Two of the felony counts were dismissed. The one remaining misdemeanor count that they were going to try him on got dismissed as well when he claimed that the federal government could not prove that the money he earned as wages were, in fact, profits.
Well, that's the thing. This is the point. The income tax law in the States says that you can get taxed on income, and income is profit, okay? And the only way you can define profit is as dividends handed to you by a company or corporation for their shares. So income is shares and the dividend that they get. So Paris Hilton has to pay income tax. But whoever it is that works down McDonald's and gets a wage, that's not a profit. That's a straight exchange, labor for money. That's not profit. And this is the point.
And beyond not being a profit, it is probably a loss given the nature of the wages.
American corporations that we're talking about, you're working for, but you know what I mean? It can't be construed as a profit on top of, you know, I suppose you could tax gambling, stuff like that, as an income tax.
And we do.
That's technically a profit because you're taking what you've earned and then exchanging it for the possibility of making a profit. But talking about wages, there is no federal statute or federal amendment or federal law in America that says that you or anyone else who doesn't earn their income through dividends has to pay income tax. And the 16th Amendment is not legal, which is why they can't use it against people in court. I mean, I actually know a lot more about American tax law than I do about British, but that's because in Britain it's legal to tax us.
Right. Well, true. Let me ask you this. Royal Dutch Shell and ExxonMobil declared yet another round of record quarterly profits today.
Yeah, and they're still claiming benefits from the government.
Yeah. And yet the stock market in New York today closed down 200 plus points. That's more than 500 points it's vomited up in the last 2 days.
Well, you've got to remember that part of the stock market problem is that the dollar's now worthless. And so the stock market, it doesn't matter how high the stock market goes, because, you know, it's worth what? Maybe about the same as the British stock market now? I don't know. I don't know how many dollars you get to a pound, but it's well over two now, isn't it?
Yes.
Yeah, I mean, if we're approaching $3, then the 5,000 that's in the FTSE over here is equal to the 15,000 that's over there, or whatever it is. You know what I mean? So that's the main problem with America's stock market. It's going to start falling now because everybody's starting to clue up. All the small investors, the ones that are important in driving a crash, they're starting to become clued up as to the fact that dollar is now worthless and you need to get yourself some pounds, or, well, euros or pounds are the best option.
Well, it's frightening because...
Well, it's a ruling class crashing the economy.
Yeah, well, it's the economic policy that drives this, but it's also stupid, Andy.
Well, yeah, but we've never accused them of doing things like sensibly. I mean, they're not necessarily the most stupid people on earth. The ones they put out up front are the stupid ones, but they don't think long term. The ruling class never really thinks long term. You know, that's look at the system of capitalism. You know, the profits are measured by quarter. By quarter. I mean, what happens in?
Yeah, why not measure it by week?
Well, yeah, exactly. Why not measure it by day? Why not measure it by every 10 years? This is the point. It's all completely irrelevant, you know what I mean? But they keep having to shove it down our throats. That's why you have these quarterly reports. Oh, we've got to keep everybody knowing that the economy's still going. It's very important. Have you ever seen an economy, Bob?
No, you know, I had one in the trap one day, but it chewed its arm off and got away.
It disappeared before you could get there.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, this is the thing. We live in a world of fantasy and make-believe, and a lot of it's called the economy, and the rest of it's called finance.
Well, you're living there in Wales. You've probably got a pretty good... I've got a puka named Economy. He's about 6 feet tall. No. Okay, that was a pathetic attempt at humor, but at least I tried.
Well, you've got to try, man. But you know, this is our problem. We live in a mad world, and the reason the world is mad is because it profits the ruling class in the short term to have it like that. You know, I mean, why do we have wars all the time? Why has the U.S. been at war since the Second World War?
Good for business.
Well, it's not, but it is. Do you know what I mean? It's good for business as long as the business is making money off debt.
Yeah. Why don't we have a not-for-profit national health care system in this country?
Yeah.
Because sickness and death is good for business.
You know, they're doing their damnedest to destroy the NHS over here, and they're doing the argument that you guys are having in reverse. There are conservatives over here arguing that, oh, we need private health care for everyone.
Yeah, but you've got national universal health care.
Yep.
And when your conservatives open their mouths and start talking this crazy crap, why doesn't somebody throw a pint in their face? I mean,
the conservatives are talking it, but the Labour government's doing it. The Labour government is destroying the NHS, and it's doing it because the Labour government is a conservative government. They are paid for members of the ruling class. They are the lackeys that will do the job. You know, George Bush is not a powerful man. Dick Cheney isn't a powerful man. They lick the boots of the people who have power. You know, and they hope they'll throw them another bone. And you know, the people who have power want to make money off my ill health or lack of. You know, they want to make money off everybody in Britain, everybody in Europe. You know, they're trying to destroy Sweden's National Health Service, which is an altogether more difficult matter because most Swedish people are socialists. But this is the thing, you know, we've been taught socialism is a dirty word.
But it takes a village
to raise a child, and that's socialism.
But I was being a little bit facetious, but there was a core of seriousness behind my inquiry, Andy.
Hmm.
Why do you even put up with the argument?
Well, the control of the media. The media here is not as badly controlled as the media in the States, but it certainly isn't interested in working against the interests of the ruling class, because people have been installed at the top of the BBC since Tony Blair did that. He fired the people at the top of the BBC and installed his own people. These people are bought and paid for members of the ruling class. And the reason the argument is not put against the Conservatives that you're talking rubbish, shut up, before I smack you, is because they won't do it. You know, they simply will not. They're only putting up the argument they want us to hear. Like the war in Iraq, it's called the war in Iraq. It's not a war, it's an occupation. We all know it's an occupation. Every so often a newsreader or a journalist out there slips and says the occupation or occupation forces. and then you don't see them for a couple of weeks while they go through re-education. You know?
Yeah, something utterly Orwellian, I'm sure.
Yeah, and that's the thing. We're living in it. We read, I've said it before and I'll say it again, we read 1984 and see it as a warning. They read it and saw it as a manual.
Precisely.
Mm. And on that depressing note, I'm going to let you have other callers.
All right. Andy, so good to hear from you. Stay high and dry.
Well, I'm all right, man. I'll be cool. Plus, I know someone who's got a boat.
Very well. Hey to Hazel.
I will be, man. Thank you. Take
Bye
care.
Now.
Goodbye, mate.
Our good friend Andy in the UK. And I'm not trying to be flip, but when this crazy garbage starts out, and it's a mark of our... Our laziness as a people, our lackadaisical attitude, maybe we're just too darn busy paying the bills to pay attention, but when some crazy bastard at the end of the bar starts babbling about the miracles of the free market, you walk over to him with a pitcher of stale beer, pour it over the top of his head, and say, "Shut up! You're nuts! You're insane!" Now, I want to go to something real quick. I usually hesitate to beat on a drum that some other host on the horn has beaten previously in the day, but this was brought to my attention by our good friend, Dr. Bill O'Brien, and this is a case of that. This goes to that because, you see, there are thousands and thousands and thousands of hours every week, every day, if you accumulate it, of right-wingers talking crazy crap at the end of the bar. And virtually no one out there to pick up the pitcher of beer and walk down to the end of the bar and pour it over his stinking head and say, "Shut up or we're throwing you out in the street." Listen to this.
Conservative talk radio and TV are under attack. Liberals in Congress want to silence your favorite talk shows. Under Ronald Reagan, the so-called fairness doctrine ended, and conservatives managed to get a foothold in the media.
Wait.
But now...
Under Ronald Reagan, the fairness doctrine didn't end. The fairness doctrine was killed, you sons of bitchin' liars. Liars, liars, you dirty, dirty, rotten, filthy, scoundrel liars. And conservatives managed to get a foothold in the media. A foothold? Jesus, this isn't Normandy. I mean, this isn't the Marines landing on Iwo Jima and clinging tenuously to the beaches. There's no foothold in right-wing talk radio. If anybody's on the beaches getting shot at, it's people like me, Malloy, Stephanie Miller... Yeah. Tom Hartman? Clinging to a few stations here and there, hoping to change a mind, hoping to, you know, or not even change a mind, just put the daggum information out there for a change instead of lying to people 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. I think it was last night that I referenced the fact that I understand now why right-wing talkers are millionaires, because if you go into that business... with anything approaching a level of morals or anything like it, there is not enough money. Rush Limbaugh gets what, $29 million a year for doing what he does? I tell you the truth, $60 million a year would not make me do what Rush Limbaugh does. Because he is a paid liar. Purely and simply. Let's roll on with just a little of this, Agnes.
Powerful ultra-liberals want to re-regulate the airwaves. Recently, Senator John Kerry said, quote, "I think the fairness doctrine ought to come back." Senator Dianne Feinstein agreed. And liberal Senator Dick Durbin warned, quote, "It's time to reinstate the fairness doctrine."
Okay,
they
wait.
To shut...
I think it would be a good idea to bring back the fairness doctrine. Dianne Feinstein agreed. And liberal Senator Dick Durbin said, "I think it's time to bring back the fairness doctrine." Now, those statements are kind of innocuous. But with the ominous music they've got rolling behind it and the minor key piano, what little right-wingers hear when they hear this is, recently, John Kerry said he believes babies should be eaten at lunch, and Dianne Feinstein said she personally, particularly enjoys baby brains. Dick Durbin, the ultra-liberal senator from Illinois, said baby is particularly good when it's stewed. Oh, I hate these rotten, filthy... more...
Down the conservative media where you get the facts you depend on.
No! Stop! Where you get the facts you depend on? Where you get facts that come from the back of a Depends, maybe? Facts? Have you... Has the Heritage Foundation actually listened to Rush Limbaugh? Have they listened to O'Reilly? Have they listened to that life support system for a haircut? There aren't any facts in those programs. Dirty liberals want to do your mother. You know, no! And if your mother's a liberal, she'll enjoy it. Oh, please.
Conservative talk radio and TV are under attack. We need your help to stop.
Stop. Aw, damn it. I despise the use of battlefield metaphors for political disagreements. Conservative talk radio is under attack. Charlie Bunko 1, we're taking fire. We're taking fire. Need support. Send in the choppers. Oh, my God, send a bomber. Oh, yeah, we're going to have... But you know what this is about. This isn't about talk radio. We'll get to what this is about. But what an insult it is. Now, the right wing, day in and day out, we support the troops. We got the Chinese yellow ribbon magnet on the back of our giant SUV to prove it. We support troops. We support them so much we want them to stay over there in that sandy-ass meat grinder till they's all dead. We support troops. And then turn around and use a... we're under attack. God almighty. It's just a bit much, isn't it? It's under attack. They're not gonna let you hear Rush anymore. Nobody's saying anything about that. This has nothing to do with the study. You know, Rush comes from premier radio networks. Let me see if I can pop that P a little bit harder. Rush comes from premier radio networks. Premier radio networks can produce hateful, right-wing, idiotic, foolish, stupid, couldn't be believed by anybody with a half a brain cell still firing in their head radio till hell freezes over. Nobody's saying they can't. The fairness doctrine, which I do actually have some misgivings about and have mentioned in the past, the fairness doctrine has to do with the stewardship of the public's airwaves. You see, the airwaves don't belong to Premier Radio Network. The airwaves don't belong to individual radio station owners. The airwaves belong to the people of the United States. And it's grounded in a legal doctrine that goes back to, it goes so far back in legal history in terms of Anglo-American jurisprudence that it's among the first things that were ever decided. You know, right after Gronk live in that cave, Kronk live in that cave, they actually got, they started considering these kinds of rights. If you own a square of ground, how much of the, you own the air above the ground too. And in that legal theory, it goes straight up with the boundary lines. Hence, the skies over the United States are United States territory as well. Okay? Oh, God, I hope that wasn't thunder. But that's very significant, because the people of the United States own the airwaves, and when we grant a license to a broadcaster, it is a grant of a license to use the people's airwaves. Now, I know that ABC and CBS and NBC and various and sundry broadcast outfits, and more particularly Sinclair and Clear Channel and those other creepy bastards, would like to think that they own the airwaves, but you know, you need to know, if you're not sitting around thinking about it, that no, it's yours. So no one is attacking conservative talk radio, or as it should more properly be known, conservative hate radio. Just as the hate crimes legislation that would prevent someone from stomping the guts out of another human being because they don't like how the other human being has sex does not impinge on the right of, you know, Pastor John Hagee to stand in the pulpit and argue for that, so too the Fairness Doctrine has nothing whatsoever to do with the content of the life support system for a haircut or flush phlegm ball or, you know, any of the rest of that sleazy, oiled-up crowd. But let's continue, please, Agnes.
Now, do you like Rush Limbaugh, Sean Hannity, James Dobson, Laura Ingraham? If the liberals succeed in re-regulating the airwaves, the government could silence conservative and religious voices across America. Conservative talk radio and TV are under attack. We need your help to stop liberal censors now.
Stop. Did you hear that? We're censors. Now they've taken one little tiny issue and they've turned it into censorship. Now, you're intelligent, you're liberal, you're progressive, you probably vote Democratic. And you've got a little bit of common sense. You've got a lot of common sense. What am I talking about? And so you understand that when they say censor, they're lying. This is, after all, the Heritage Foundation. Lying is what they do for a living. It's why they're multimillionaires. They are professional liars, and it is a very good business to be in, if you're willing to do it to yourself. If you're willing to take your karma out behind the barn every night and just have it gang-raped by demons. But the thing is, you know all this. What about the people who listen to Rush day in and day out? They're going to take away my dittos! Lord God, Billy Bob. It is disturbing in the extreme. Let's roll a little bit more of it, please, Agnes. I have no idea what's going on here. Okay, we'll roll a little bit more of it in a second or two. Agnes had to step away from the central control. I don't know why. I'm just a mushroom. Keep me in the dark and feed me nothing. No. But this is so very disturbing. Suddenly the idea that maybe a radio station that runs Rush, it had nothing to do with Rush's program. 3 hours of conservative blather and hate per day, let it roll. But the Fairness Doctrine says that it might have to be balanced against something similar coming from the other side. And that is what they're afraid of. They are afraid. I mean, look at it. How can this be anything but a war that these guys have to lose? Because as Dr. Bill noted, they are admitting that they cannot succeed, they cannot prosper, they cannot thrive in an atmosphere of fairness. This is the most pathetic, shameless admission on the part of the Heritage Foundation that they cannot survive. They're like an anaerobic bacteria, bacterium one. They can't survive in air. Conservative right-wing hate radio can't survive if there's anything to counterbalance its lies. It would seem to be that's the nature of their admission, isn't it? I would think so. Agnes, pick up where we left off, please.
Conservative stations could be forced to broadcast liberal programs, and faith-based stations could be forced to broadcast opposing programs. Under their censorship plans, the government would again force radio and TV stations to broadcast what liberals call a fair balance. But liberal programs on ABC, NBC, CBS, and PBS would be labeled fair and remain the air. Conservative talk radio.
But liberal programs on ABC, CBS, and NBC would be labeled fair and remain on the air. Just asking, what liberal programs would those be? Now, this is a classic case of comparing apples and oranges. What the Heritage Foundation dare not tell its knuckle-dragging, mouth-breathing followers is that what it is calling liberal programming on ABC, CBS, and NBC is actually the evening news. Because any program that does not begin with a rousing chorus of Die Panzerlied is determined by the Heritage Foundation to be liberal. And they are describing, of course, one-hour television programs once a day. So, in other words, at best, 3 hours per night of over-the-air broadcasting, you know, because Katie Couric's a liberal. Because Brian Williams is a liberal. Because Charlie Gibson is a liberal. I'm sorry. Now, I say it's apples and oranges because they're comparing that against 3 hours of Rush, 3 hours of Hannity, 3 hours of O'Reilly, 3 hours of Savage, three, maybe 5 hours of Bortz, 3 hours of Laura Ingraham, and thousands upon thousands of little tiny stations that are owned and controlled by Focus on the Family, in which every day, for an hour or so at a time, James Dobson dispenses Bible-based advice for parenting your children, including, gentlemen, taking your 4-year-old son into the shower with you and waving your Johnson in his face to keep him from catching a case of the Homer sectionals. I'm not making that up. He said that. Or maybe it includes Dobson's advice to beat children until they cry real tears. Reality of the tears to be determined by the person doing the beating. Oh, they're not real enough. Gonna whoop him some more, Eunice. This is the lying that these scumbags do. Let's roll on till we finish this pitiful screed.
Always under attack. We need your help to stop liberal censors.
The real
reason.
The real reason. What do they want? What do they want us to do? Tell us what they want us to do, Agnes.
If you act now by giving a generous gift to the Heritage Foundation, we will alert the public and educate Congress about this dangerous federal regulation. Act now before conservative and religious broadcasters...
Oh, wait. But what's the nature of... God, why isn't this on a carnival midway somewhere? What a con this is.
If you act now with your generous gift, we'll tell Congress about this dangerous legislation. But if you don't, we'll remain silent, and they'll take Rush Limbaugh out back, and they'll do terrible things to him. Them liberals, and them homosexuals, them secular humanists. Oh, my God, and what they're going to do to his Bible can't be... Oh, Jesus! But only if you send a generous gift to the Heritage Foundation today. Onward, Agnes.
Are taken off the air. Act today by giving your generous gift to the Heritage Foundation.
And don't, no, no, wait, it's got to be a generous gift. Don't you be giving no parsimonious penny-ante gifts. Give till it hurts, America, or they're going to do terrible things to Sean Hannity's haircut.
This doctrine and other efforts to shut down our voice. Give today while we still have time. Give before it's too late.
Jesus, they make it sound like Rush Limbaugh's like,
it started over.
They make it sound like Rush Limbaugh's little Timmy with an incurable disease. Act now before it's too late. Rush is withering away as we speak. Hey, Rush, why don't you give some of that 29 million smackers a year that you haul in and let the Heritage Foundation leave working America the hell alone? Because gasoline's $3.50 a gallon. And milk is more than that. And we're a little worried right now that maybe we ate some botulism-laden Castleberry's beef stew. Leave working America alone, you dirty, rotten, filthy, stinking liars from the Heritage Foundation. How do these sons of bitches get up in the morning and look at themselves in the mirror? How does a lady who works for the Heritage Foundation get up in the morning and look in the mirror and shave her mustache?
Leave the mustache alone.
How does a guy from the Heritage Foundation get up in the morning, look in the mirror, and trim back the satanic horns growing out of his head? I don't know. Hey, let's go talk to David in Maine. Hey, David, welcome to the program.
I don't know how I can follow that one.
You're not expected to.
Yeah. I suppose you got that Zevon stuff.
Oh, yeah. Cool.
Yeah, that's cool. I just wanted to say a few different stories here that I covered. I suppose you saw the Think Progress one on the embassy thing?
No, help me out here.
Slave labor.
Oh, yeah. Okay, yeah, I saw that. Right.
Yeah, did you hear the quote?
Uh-uh.
He says, in the testimony, he said, "Mr. Chairman, when the airplane took off and the captain announced that we were heading to Baghdad, all you know what broke out on the airplane. The men started shouting. It wasn't until the security guy working for First Kuwaiti waved an MP5 in the air that the men settled down. They realized they had no other choice but to go to Baghdad." Let me spell it out clearly. "I believe these men were kidnapped by First Kuwaiti to work at the U.S. Embassy. I've read the State Department Inspector General's report on the construction of the embassy. Mr. Chairman, it's not worth the paper it's printed on. This is a cover-up, and I'm glad that I had the opportunity to set the record straight."
If we actually got serious about everything that's going on over there, we would be investigating cover-ups and felonies and high crimes from now until the next century, David.
I don't argue with you on that one. I think...
The whole thing's a crime. The whole thing is a racket. You know, as in racketeer-inspired corrupt organization, RICO.
It was as soon as a crime as they said, "Hey, why don't we run George's son?" That was the crime right there.
That's where it starts. That's the triggering event.
That's where everything started right there. Now, of course, we go back to Reagan and all of that, but, you know... And then the other thing I wanted to mention, since we're talking about conservatives and afraid of bloggers and afraid of the liberal media and the liberal audience, one of the interesting things I found out is, guess who the White House is setting up a conference call with? Don't pull
Who's
your
that?
Head off.
No, okay, who?
Captain's Quarters blog.
Oh no!
How can you take this seriously? You know, I just want to say something about this. I don't usually say hatred and dark things, but if Leatherface was running down running down the street to the old captain's house, I would not be screaming, "Hey, Leatherface is coming!" And he could have two Stahills in his hand just laughing like a madman. I would be like, "I don't think so."
Yeah, let him go. not bugging me.
I just walk away. I mean, how out of your mind? No, how... See, that's the thing. How is that even fair and balanced? You didn't even pick one that wasn't even polished. If I was Daily Coast or someone or some kind of liberal blog, I would be just searching the guest book looking for all kinds of the death threats that they did on that same thing with the O'Reilly board.
Yeah.
You know,
John Aravosis got banned from the O'Reilly board today.
Really?
Yeah, from America Blog.
Guess what I heard? I heard someone tried to bring up, they said, well, on your message board, when they were talking to O'Reilly on the news, and O'Reilly started doing that, cut his mic off.
You know, and that, just, okay, this is a little bit of inside baseball, David.
Right.
But that just goes to show how damn dumb O'Reilly is. Cut his mic off. They're sitting there with a dump button.
You know,
they don't have to cut his mic off, just...
You know the sad thing about this, Bob, is that I don't think anyone ever really thinks about this, or maybe they do. But when you're in that position of influence, you know, I liken it to the same thing how a gangbanger or a mafia person, they're always looking over their shoulder because they become so insulated and so surrounded by these toxic, poisonous influences, and eventually they just keep looking over and over, and they go for the littlest thing.
Yeah.
I know O'Reilly did it for ratings, so let's face that. And he was crazy before he even hit his university days.
Yeah.
You know? I mean, that, again, I'd always look to the father figure. I've not heard that much about O'Reilly's father. I've not heard that much about Cheney's father. That's suspicious to me.
Oh, they both had sex with farm animals. And you know what? If they didn't, they can sue me.
Well, I think there's something to be said for the family structures and a lot of these hosts. And you know, it's the same thing where a lot of people who want to get into the conservative lifestyle and culture, which really, let's face it, it's bubble wrapped in a Brooks Brothers suit or something, and there really isn't that much to say about everything that's happening. It just seems to me that, you know, they sell this artificial BS all the time, and so many people want to believe it. Eventually, they think that's the only way to go, because the other way is just so dangerous. And that's when the silence starts. That's where the silence is complicit. And I just think a lot of these people, they're just suckers.
Yeah, well, they are. But there's a mindset beyond that, David. For the average right wing radio listener,
yeah.
Right wing radio. It sort of provides a psychic cushion, a psychic distance for its listeners. Right-wing radio allows them to think that America's going to hell because we've lost our moral values, and the moral values are being destroyed by the Mexicans and the brown people and the homosexuals and the secular liberalists and the people who won't worship the Bible like they're supposed to. That's America's problem. And that's all, to one degree or another, that is all that right-wing hate radio is.
And you know, Bob, it's the fact is, most of the right-wing, let's face it, they're in the same boat we are. They just don't want to pretend they aren't. I'm going to be rich tomorrow!
Well, see, that's part of the con, too.
I know. But one of the interesting things was, you're going to laugh at this, I was surfing on an anti-Michael Moore site. I'm not going to give their name out, but I was surfing an anti-Michael Moore site, and in the message board, I saw this, and I kid you not, people, I saw it, and he said, Yeah, we have a lot of problems with our healthcare system. And then the guy started talking about the free market system, and then as a footnote at the bottom, he added, well, me and my wife are circumstantially in debt. Circumstantially in debt? You sucker, you're broke. You fell for the whole free market trap.
Yeah, it's the guy on the commercial on the TV riding on his lawnmower saying, I can barely make my interest payments. Somebody help me.
And you're circumstantially in trouble.
Yeah. You're circumstantially screwed.
I know. They don't want to look toward Milton Friedman and the free market. And, you know, I really blame this a lot on a lot of, a lot of the people that should have been standing up when they saw this free market thing coming down the pike. They should have shot it down immediately and been like, what, are you guys crazy?
Well, that's what I'm trying to do here. I mean, I don't know. Maybe I'll have to see if somebody from the Heritage Foundation has the guts to come on the air and get deconstructed and let me peel them like an onion. My guess is they won't. They don't have that kind of courage.
I mean, Hartman does it to a degree with the people that he has on, but they just kind of give him condescending answers, and he kind of just takes it. Or
they scream.
Yeah. Well, they don't scream on his program. They just take these condescending answers and be like, oh, come on. No.
Yeah. Hey, David, we got to roll, my friend. We got a thunderstorm coming in, and I want to clear the lines. Agnes has declared it's time to unplug the highfalutin phone box.
It's archive time.
No. We'll keep broadcasting. I'll have to fill a bobster.
All right. You have a good weekend, Bob.
You too, David. Take care.
Later.
Bye now. And on to Bob in North Dakota. Hey, Bob, welcome to the program.
Hello, Bob.
How are you?
I got a little problem with you.
Okay. What have I done?
Well, you said you wanted the fairness doctrine.
No, I did not.
Well, no. Okay. Somebody wanted the fairness. I don't want fairness. I want to take you back to 1950. Okay?
Okay.
I want to take you back to, Dragnet. Okay? I don't want fairness. I want the truth and nothing but the truth.
Just
okay?
The facts, ma'am. Yep.
That's a fact, ma'am. I don't want nothing but the truth. And I'm sick of this. Excuse me. I almost said the S word.
Yeah.
With a C in front of it. Crap. I don't want no crap. I want the truth. I'm sick of... I don't want truth. I want facts. Nothing but the facts. And we have been said nothing but the F word. Okay?
Yeah.
I almost said that F.
No, we've been mushroomed. We've been kept in the dark and fed nothing but... Yeah.
Yeah. Crap. And it's time that this... us. All of us. Every human being on this planet stands up and says, I don't want the truth. I don't want to hear your
Bob, that's the theory that's at work here. These people who are advocating for the so-called fairness doctrine believe, and it may be a well-placed belief, that if you put real facts side by side with the psychotic babblings of the O'Reillys and the Hannitys and the Savages and the Limbaughs, that like sunshine on a vampire, right-wing hate radio will dry up and blow away, not because it's been suppressed or censored.
It has to. It does, or we do. It's either right-wing crap radio dries up and blows away, or we dry up and blow away. That's a fact. Is it?
Well, they're doing their best to kill America.
Of course they are. They're doing their best to kill us.
I mean, can you imagine? You're just like the rest of us, Bob. You're out there. You're just trying to keep the water out of the basement and the barbarians out of your living room. Can you imagine
having to keep George Bush out of my outhouse?
Okay, but you're just dealing with a reality-based world. You deal in facts every day. Can you imagine having to get up and go to a studio and get behind a microphone and lie your rotten ass off for 3 hours a day? I mean, no wonder Rush is a junkie. There's a psychological toll that doing that day in and day out for years and years and years will do to you. It'll take a terrible toll, and it did on him. He didn't have a back injury. He didn't have a bad back or a sore neck. He had an aching brain because he lies for a living every day of his rotten existence.
Bob, stop. Okay?
All right.
For one moment, okay? I love you like a son, but stop. Like I've told my son to do. Stop and think outside the box. Okay?
That's where I live, Bob.
Fear is the little mind killer. It kills little minds. It doesn't kill a brain that can think for itself. Think outside that box. And I've told you many, many occasions to think outside that box. Because you are not. Your mind is, oh, it's beautiful. I've listened to you. I've talked with you. I've been a friend to you. And I do love you. But I have to chastise you occasionally, and tonight I have to say, do not let them drag you into that thought. Don't make them lead you down that primrose path, because that's where they're trying to lead you as a nation, as a world, to think inside of the box. Think outside of it. Think about what we can do.
Fair enough.
Resist.
Bob, I've got to get off here because we're getting more thunder in the distance, and I can't let this machine get fried.
I know that. And I'll listen to a refried.
No, I'm not leaving. I'm just filibobstering. I'm not taking calls. We're shutting down the phone box, not the internet.
No, I just want the world to know. I mean, Andy in the UK and, John down there and down yonder and, all my decent human beings that I've met over all this time to think beyond what we can do. But, we can't undo what's done. What we can do is prepare. Be prepared. And Bob, I'm not asking anyone to revolt or be revolutionary. I'm just saying, if you think I can, you can. If you think I can't, I can't. And that's a fact. If I think I can.
Hey, Bob, I've got to get off the phone. The thunder is going to take my phone system out, and we're going to be in another $650 hole here.
Okay.
I understand what you're saying, but I got to roll, man. That's okay.
Right.
We love you, brother. We'll talk to you soon, okay?
Hey, and love to the world.
All right. Later. All right. Bye now. I don't mean to sound so insistent or paranoid or freaky. Agnes, if you'll just get the news. Honey, you're too short to reach the box.
Got it.
Okie dokie. Well, we've got news coming. We'll take a quick break. Go to the news. We'll come back and, I'm sorry, it's just going to be y'all and me doing the talking. If you want to communicate, the email's not down. bob@headonradio.com. And, of course, you can go to the chat room, too. That's a load of fun. I'm in there, too. I'm a multitasking, forward thinking. Rush couldn't do a chat room at the same time he was doing his lying. See, that's the thing about lying. You got to be really, really careful and keep track of all your dirty little lies. So, bob@headonradio.com, or jump in if you've never been to the chat room for the first time. This is a great opportunity. Headonradionetwork.com, click on chat room, register. It's real easy. And we'll communicate that way. And once the thunderstorm's passed, we'll plug up the magical electric phone box. But you see, I'm sorry to seem like such a ninny about all of this, but we are literally days away from changing over our service and getting away from the inept, incompetent phone lines of the fine folks at Verizon and going over to a service that will be safe, stable, and secure, we hope. And in the meantime, I'm not willing to crank up another $650 repair bill, because that's just untenable. I hope you understand. You're listening to America's liberal voice. You're listening to the horn. You know who I am. I'm Bob.
It's been so long.
This is the Quality News Network. The Dow dives again, down 208 points. We'll have the latest numbers from Wall Street coming up in our business block. Congress overwhelmingly voted to pass the Homeland Security Bill. The vote was 371 to 40. The bill contains security measures that the 9/11 Commission recommended, including more federal money to pay high-risk cities and states. It also includes tighter screening of air and sea cargo. Congress sent the bill to the president late today. Near Islamabad's Red Mosque, a suicide bomber killed at least 13 people and wounded dozens more. Today was the first time the mosque reopened since a bloody army siege against Taliban militants who'd taken over the site. Earlier in the day, students clashed again with government forces. They're demanding the return of a pro-Taliban cleric. The Shiite-led Iraq government has dismissed the Sunni political bloc's 11 demands for more political say. A spokeswoman for Prime Minister Nouri al-Maliki accused the minority group, which is threatening to pull out of the coalition government, of pressuring and blackmail. Afghan elders are negotiating with Taliban militants who are holding 22 South Korean missionaries, many of whom are reported to be ill. A South Korean presidential envoy has been sent to discuss the release of the prisoners who were kidnapped last week. Vice President Dick Cheney will undergo a procedure to have a new defibrillator implanted tomorrow. The current one's battery needs to be replaced. Former Soviet President Mikhail Gorbachev criticized the United States today for causing disorder around the world by trying to build an empire. The former leader singled out President Bush in particular. The State Department announced the U.S. and India have reached an agreement on a civilian nuclear deal. The negotiations between the two countries have gone on for more than a year. And it's believed a release of nitrous oxide during a test in the Mojave Desert caused an explosion that killed three people yesterday and critically injured three others. It happened at an airport where Spaceship One, a pioneering aerospace company, was working. All of the victims were employees of that company, which constructed the first privately built rocket to travel in space. A NASA commissioned report says on at least two occasions astronauts flew drunk despite warnings that they posed a flight risk. The space agency said it's unaware of any such conduct but is investigating. You're listening to the Quality News Network.
You know you can depend on QNN for honest news. Now we want you to know about an honest source of information on one of the country's most desirable vacation destinations, Carmel by the Sea on California's beautiful Central Coast. That source is the best address in Carmel, carmel.com. Just a few simple clicks and you're visiting a website that mirrors all that Carmel stands for. Quality, character, tradition, beauty, the great outdoors by the sea, cultural heritage, and the best shopping. Charming inns, superb dining, world-class art, music, and theater. A cornucopia of delights. So when you're planning your next getaway, go to the best address in Carmel. Carmel.com for tips on everything Carmel. Then put that information to good use by visiting Carmel by the Sea for an unforgettable getaway. Carmel.com.
Tokyo researchers say Japanese women live the longest. Women born last year are expected to live an average of 85.8 years. Healthy diets and strong social ties are the reason. The longest living men are in Iceland. FDA and state officials say cans of possibly tainted food are still sitting on store shelves and are still selling to consumers a week after a recall went out. Castleberry's food company recalled more than 90 products over botulism fears. Bottled water that comes from the tap will now have to say so on the label. PepsiCo, the owner of Aquafina, will change its labels to indicate the water comes from a public water source just like tap water. The company's been under pressure to make what some say are to change what some say are misleading market practices. The U.S. economy spiked this spring, growing at the strongest pace in over a year. The Commerce Department reported in the second quarter the gross domestic product grew at a more than expected 3.4% rate. Analysts say Wall Street is still worried about deal financing, however, sending stocks lower despite the good news about the economy. Light sweet crude is trading at $77.02 a barrel. At the close of Wall Street, the Dow ended down 208 points at 13,265. The NASDAQ was down 37 and the S&P down 24. There's more at QualityNewsNetwork.com. I'm Laurel Christen.
Ah! It's your second hour in the Liberal Sandbox, and you're head on with Bob Kincaid.
Twenty past the hour. Getting a little creepy around here. I'll be, you know, we did the phone shutdown thing because, well, the repairs are expensive. But we've had several flickers of the power so far, and so I can't guarantee how long this will go on. But we will press on as best we can. The phones are, you know, we've disabled them because it would be a shame to incur another one of those god awful repair bills before the new service comes in and it's finally once and for all protected. You know, please, I don't want you to make the mistake of thinking that somehow this is shoddy equipment or cheap equipment. It's not. It's industry standard stuff. It's the best there is. It's the best you can buy. But when you're dealing with an outfit like Verizon that can't get service, I mean, well, it's not worth going into. So that's where we are. If things go down, we will do everything in our power to make sure that we get back up and running, even if we got to fire up the generator or something, to get back up and running in time to bring you tonight's Friday night edition of Strictly Confidential, because we're just that determined. I want to share an email with you. You know, I sit here doing my thing through the day, and it was right after I got done producing Joe Vecchio's show today that I checked the inbox to my email, and I got something that I think you're going to find as inspiring as I did, because it was one of those things that happens and kind of makes the day worthwhile. And I'm just going to share the email with you. It says, "Hi, Bob. I've been listening to your show since I first heard you on Radio Power about 2 years ago, and I think you're the best thing going on the airwaves. My unit is home-based in Germany, and we've been deployed to Iraq for almost a year now." Almost there. "I'm also from Appalachia, Abingdon, Virginia. And I really appreciate hearing a voice like yours dispelling the stereotypes people have of our region. Even though I'm a career soldier over 15 years, I consider myself to be pretty progressive, as hard as that may be to believe. So it's often difficult for me to express my views openly to the people I work with. I have a pretty different point of view than most of my fellow NCOs about what's going on here in Iraq. And I've kept a small MySpace blog, which has gotten me about as much hate mail as support. I'd love to be able to call your show sometime and talk to you, since you engage your callers in conversation using facts about issues rather than simply indulging a quick point and moving on. Anyway, I just wanted to let you know that I really appreciate what you do. Keep it up. Take care. Signed, Andy." That blew me away. That just that changed the tenor of the whole day, made everything dramatically different for going forward. Not because I'm some sort of egomaniac, I'm not. But every time I hear something from someone saying that what we do here really makes a difference to them, I know that we're doing the right thing. I know that I'm doing the right thing. I know that Agnes is doing the right thing. And I know that it matters. And the idea that in the midst of what is the reality of what is Iraq, that maybe what we're doing here on the Horn might be reaching that far and speaking to someone who is probably less than thrilled with, and I'm not going to put words in anybody's mouth,
But, you know, somebody who has to deal, my God, you know, Armed Forces Radio, they get Rush Limbaugh, but they don't get anything to balance it. Oh, I remember the congressional hearings that said where the conservatives go, well, you know, of course they get Rush. That's because National Public Radio is Morning Edition is piped in via Armed Forces Radio. It's just a matter of creating balance. So, you know, a great big honking Where that was concerned, suddenly the idea of having balance was a good thing. Now, there is no comparison between that babbling junkie Limbaugh and a news program. Limbaugh's nothing but opinion. National Public Radio's Morning Edition, or All Things Considered, or What Do You Know, or Car Talk, those are generally fact-based. Okay, What Do You Know and Car Talk are more about fun. But Rush is opinion. Rush isn't news. Morning Edition and All Things Considered are news, and they're offered fairly straight. Rush is not. But it humbles me to know that someone under the dire and unpleasant, to say the least, circumstances and surroundings of Iraq has time to listen to me yammer into a microphone. It is humbling in the extreme, and I'm awfully glad that I got that note. I've got the link here for Andy's blog. If you guys would like to go and read and comment and balance out what he described as I've gotten almost as much, let's see, what does it say here? My blog has gotten me about as much hate mail as support. If you'd like to counterbalance some of that hate mail, shoot me a note, bob@headonradio.com, and I'll share that MySpace link with you. It might be a nice thing to do. 27 minutes past the hour. Let's take a quick break. I'm going to take a peep outside and see what it's looking like here. You know, I haven't responded to a thunderstorm this way since I was 5 years old. But it was really, really nasty last night. I got up this morning and there were about 600 people in Kanawha County, or more than 600 people, 600 people in Clay County. And you'd have to know West Virginia geography a little bit to understand what 600 people in Clay County means. That's most of the people in Clay County who have electricity. Were without electricity from the storms that went through last night. Big, ugly, nasty. So we'll take a break. I'm going to take a peep outside, then we'll come back and go as long as we can. I hate this. But what can you do? You're listening to America's Liberal Voice. You're listening to The Horn. I'm Bob Kincaid.
A vacation in a foreign land. Uncle Sam does the best he can. You're in the army now. Oh, you're in the army now. Now you remember what the draft man said. Nothing to do all day but stay in bed. You're in the army now.
Sweetie, I love you, but those jeans have got
to
go.
Yeah, I know. Grab me a pair next time you go to the store, would you?
No.
Huh?
I'm not going there anymore. I can't stand it.
What do you mean?
It's just awful, honey. The only smile in that building is that big yellow face. Everybody else looks miserable, and I can't find anything there that's made in our country. That bothers me.
Well, nobody makes clothes in America anymore.
Au contraire, mi amigo. There's a ton of American-made clothing at No Sweat.
Well, where's this No Sweat store? Out at the mall?
No, silly. I found them at HeadOnRadioNetwork.com. There's a link there. I already ordered some great workout gear, and I also got you some new jeans. They'll be here in a couple of days. Surprise.
HeadOnRadioNetwork.com?
Uh-huh. Just click on the No Sweat banner. You're right there. Helps union workers and helps support America's other liberal network. Cool, huh?
I knew listening to the horn was a good idea.
Whose idea?
Your idea, dear. All the good ones are.
Union made? No sweat. Great prices? No sweat. Great looks? No sweat. No sweat at HeadOnRadioNetwork.com. Click the banner. Do the right thing.
From the Night Sound Studios, here's Charm City's very own, sassy and classy, Erica Richards.
Join us at Night Sounds every Saturday night at 9 p.m. to midnight Eastern for a unique musical experience. You'll hear featured segments like One Hit Wonders, Under the Covers, and Night Sounds dedications hosted by yours truly, Erica Richards. Oh, by the way, the contact email information that we gave out during our debut is not in effect. So, to request a dedication, please contact Erica Richards at BillyShearsMusic.com. That's Erica with a K, and Shears, Shears. To reach Billy Shears, direct your email to NightSounds@BillyShearsMusic.com. We'll be waiting for you this Saturday evening.
I never thought my daughter and I would ever think the same thing is cool.
At home, my boys are like a wrecking ball. But when they volunteer, they're actually shaping things up.
Hey, they planted trees at the local park. Clean the place up.
She makes new friends. She has a great time.
My son loves it. He's contributing.
These are nice kids.
The Are You Into It volunteer program is a great way for you and your kids to make a difference in the community while making friends. So, if you're into it, or you think your kid might be, call 4-H toll-free at 1-888-77-YOUTH. Or visit our website at www.areyouintoit.com.
We can't get him to clean his room, but he loves volunteering.
A public service message brought to you by 4-H, the Cooperative Extension System, and the Ad Council.
Horses in my backyard.
I told you there were. You didn't listen to me.
Oh, this is...
It's a
bad day to quit huffing gas.
I'll be right back. You keep talking.
I'll keep talking, Agnes. You go deal with...
I'm going to go and play with the wildlife for a minute, and I'll be back
go
in a
second.
Go hit
your Dobbin to the Shay, would you? Oh, when Agnes uses the brown word within reach of an open microphone, you know it's pretty serious.
Oh, there's two of them.
Yeah, there's two of them. There's a paint and a chestnut. Agnes is going to go play horse whisperer now. Let's see if we can get the microphone close. Oh, no, I guess not. Oh, they can't. Oh, they're coming up to her. Honey, I think they're from down at Rose's. I recognize that one, I think. Oh, dear. Highly unprofessional radio here. But you know what? We may have to put up with a little dead air. Because watching Agnes of the Beasts... this is just charming.
She walks out the door, and these horses... Did I ever tell you the story about her watch possum? She tamed a possum once. Honey, the neighborly thing to do would be to keep them here till we find the owner. It's just grass. Oh, dear.
Oh, God.
This is amazing. We had horses in the yard. Horses in the yard. But this is what happens when you're married to somebody like Agnes. We got up one morning many years ago when the babies were tiny and found a herd of cattle in our yard. They came to you, Agnes. I'm sorry. They came to you. Leave them be. They're horses standing in the rain. I mean, they're fine. As long as they stand there, they're safe as if they're not out on the road, okay? They came to you because they felt the superiority of your loving energy.
Shit, I just got good grass.
But no, we did. We woke up one morning, and there was a herd of about a dozen cattle in the front yard. And another morning, we got up, and there was a family of raccoons on the back step. And, you know, this doesn't happen to everybody in West Virginia. This is what happens when you marry Ellie Mae. I mean, I'm sorry, but it is. You know, you don't get radio like this when the broadcasting's done from a downtown studio. When's the last time Bill O'Reilly looked out his window and saw the brace of horses in the yard? I don't know. This is a life lesson of some sort. I've got to figure out what it means. She's out playing. See, she's acting like it's all important and stuff. But the fact of the matter is, she loves this. She loves being Ellie Mae. She's not really the horse whisperer. She's more like the horse cajoler.
I've got him contained.
In what? You've got them contained.
I do.
You've bottled them up back at the end of the arroyo. What is it? I don't know if I can go on with the show at this point. I know you. You want to go play with the horsies, Agnes.
I've already played.
We were just talking about the morning that we woke up and there was a herd of cattle in the front yard. We were talking about your watch possum. Your family of raccoons. She named him Rocky. Of course. Beatles fan that she is. This is just... Oh, that's amazing. Horses. Oh, yeah, we've got pets. We've got cats. We've got a dog. Now we've got a couple of horses. And I know what's going on in another end of the mansion here. Our 13-year-old is saying, "Is Mommy, can we keep them?" She's already said that, hasn't she, honey? Yep. She's nodding her head like Mr. Ed. I think it was rubbing off. Yes, she's already asked to keep them, hasn't she? Because earlier today, you manipulator of universal forces looked at her and said, "Oh, honey, you're such a good daughter. You get a pony." You did that. You don't think I paid it? Yeah, I heard you do that. You said you get a pony, and the pony came here. Do not trifle with the forces of nature, Agnes. Jesus, it's like being married to Diana, goddess of the hunt, or something.
It's not funny.
It's not funny. This is hilarious. Are you kidding? You looked at our daughter not 6 hours ago and said, "Oh, honey, you're so sweet. You get a pony." And not one, but two show up. Oh. You know, this is just a little too weird. Just a
little bit too weird.
But I'm going to try to go on. I'm going to try to continue. In between the sky... See, that's the thing. Agnes is tied in really, really closely to the Earth Mother energy. And as a consequence of that, it riles the sky god. That's why we're getting the thunderstorms. Oh, this is all coming together for me now. It makes perfect sense. You're really, really tight with the Earth Mother, and that of course, I mean, it's universal. It's from time immemorial, so therefore the sky god gets very, very cranky and starts heaving lightning bolts at you. Lucky for us, he's got lousy aim. Knock wood. Well, he's gotten close enough. He's whacked the phone system four times. Okay, let me see if I can pull this back together. This is like being in the play when everybody forgets their lines and the teleprompter's script the prompter's script has burned up in his hands. It's like the actor's nightmare. I think yeah, that's a play by Tom Stoppard where I've had this happen. I mean, this is like living. Ugh. Okay. Back up. Deep breath. Deep breath. Letting go now. Letting go now. Letting everything go. I'm going to my happy place. Going to my happy place. Yeah, okay. I've got it together. I wanted a dictionary definition because of something I just read a moment ago. Noun, tragedy. One, an event resulting in great loss and misfortune. The whole city was affected by the irremediable calamity. The earthquake was a disaster. Synonym, calamity. Two, drama in which the protagonist is overcome by some superior force or circumstance, excites terror or pity. Antonym, comedy. And I ran to get that definition after seeing this most recent story out of Phoenix. And it's sickening and it's horrifying. And it's tragic. Headline, news helicopters collide, 4 dead. And if you take your little trip over to CNN.com, you can actually see a real live, honest-to-Jesus photograph of the two helicopters smoking and burning and falling apart and coming and going crashing into the earth. Sick bastards. CNN. But I did. I looked up tragedy because I knew that word would be used. And there it was, four paragraphs in. This is just a terrible tragedy for both of our families, both the police department and the local media, Police Chief Jack F. Harris said. He said the TV helicopters often helped police track suspects. And the word tragedy is applicable, especially in light of some of the other dictionary definitions. From the unabridgeddictionary.com, a dramatic composition, often in verse, dealing with a serious or somber theme, typically that of a great person destined through a flaw of character or conflict with some overpowering force as fate or society to downfall or destruction. And I can't help but think that there's an element of truth in that. We're dealing with four people here. Four people who this morning were happy and alive kiss their loved ones goodbye. See you for dinner. What are we having for dinner? Oh, hamburgers and gravy over rice. My favorite. KNXVTV confirmed its reporter pilot Craig Smith and photographer Rick Krolak were killed. KTVK said its pilot reporter Scott Bauerbank and photographer Jim Cox were killed. And you have to ask yourself why. Or maybe we don't. Maybe we just, oh, it's a terrible tragedy. And it's making some fantastic copy for CNN, because after all, if it bleeds, it leads. Better cue up dirty laundry there, Agnes. We might need it. The bubble-headed bleach blonde comes on at 5. She can tell you about the plane crash with a gleam in her eye. It's interesting when people die. Give us dirty laundry. But it is a tragedy. It is a tragedy within the dictionary definition of the term. It most assuredly is. Drama in which the protagonist is overcome by some superior force or circumstance, excites terror or pity. And that is the honest truth. The superior force, what's the superior force here? These two helicopters from two rival TV news stations in Phoenix collided while they were following a police chase. Now, where did this garbage begin? It began with a slow-moving Ford Bronco on a freeway in L.A. And it has persisted ever since. Both of these helicopters, both stations, while they were rivals in the local market, they were both CNN affiliates. And they were, likely as not, pursuing the footage to feed it back to Atlanta, where it could then be fed to a news-hungry waiting nation. And a video editor and a producer were on the ground in Atlanta saying, well, you know, we can cut in for this. I mean, you know, because that's the status. And I don't know if I can. My God, my heart is aching for these four families tonight. My heart just aches for them. Because within the definition, the dictionary definition of tragedy, drama in which the protagonist is overcome by some superior force or circumstance, the superior force or circumstance that overcame these workaday individuals, Rick Krolak, Craig Smith, Scott Bauerbank, and Jim Cox, the force that overcame them was a 24-hour news cycle that breaks in and treats as national or international news a police chase. A plain old garden variety police chase that happens every day somewhere in America, and for which Fox News or CNN will break in and provide coverage. Drama in which the protagonist is overcome by some superior force or circumstance. The superior force, the drive for sensational news. The circumstance, a police chase that had no greater meaning within the scope of any given day in Phoenix, Arizona, than any other day. The drive to provide something sensational for couch-bound America to make it feel like it's somehow still alive. These four individuals died today, and their death is an indictment
of AOL Time Warner, which owns CNN, and it is an indictment of Rupert Murdoch and News Corp. And it's an indictment of every local TV news outlet that rushes its aircraft into the sky every time somebody on the scanner says police chase. Because ever since the O.J. Simpson chase, we have redefined what journalism means in this country, and journalism means video footage of one car chasing another car, and some dude on a couch somewhere in America saying, "Looky there, Mary Ellen, police is chasing another car. Wonder if it's a tourist. Might be a tourist." There are legitimate uses for these news choppers. But legitimate uses for these news choppers do not include police chases, and I submit to you that they also don't include getting close to the celebrity wedding on the beach or out in the desert or up the canyon. There is very little difference in the deaths of these four individuals for whom I grieve, and a death as portrayed in some ancient Greek tragedy. They viewed it as just their job, but it was viewed as ever so much more by the suits who hunger for ratings. You can just hear Wolf Blitzer say, "We take you now to live footage of a police chase going on in the Phoenix, Arizona area. What can you tell us about it?" Affiliate station, what was the name of it again? Affiliate station KNXV's News Chopper is on the scene, and they're providing live footage. What do we know about the situation on the ground? There's something so psychically wrong with that idea as being news, there's a big difference between air raid sirens and bombs going off in the background of Edward R. Murrow saying, "This is London," and sending up probably $1 million worth of aircraft and human lives upon which you cannot place monetary value in order to get a picture of a cop car chasing another car in the first decade of the 21st century in America, when study after study after study after study after study after study has already shown that there should not be high-speed police chases. People on the ground get killed more often than you have helicopter crashes. And it is, there's virtually no debate whatsoever left on the value or lack thereof of high-speed police chases. I guess the cops enjoy them. But the fact of the matter is, in our society, something as simple as a tag number or a radio ahead so that people can be prepared to bring the offender, if you will, to heel, speak to the absolute non-necessity of this kind of conduct. But somewhere in Phoenix, there was some probably ne'er-do-well. Well, we don't know yet. I'm looking here. At the time of the crash, local news stations were covering the police pursuit of a white truck towing a trailer through the streets of Phoenix. The suspect was holed up in a building. Huh? Typically, air traffic controllers clear helicopters into an area where they can cover a chase like this. Ian Greger, a spokesman for the Federal Aviation Administration, told the Associated Press, once they're in the area, the pilots themselves are responsible for keeping themselves separated from other aircraft. This is... At the time of the crash, local news stations were covering the police pursuit of a white truck towing a trailer through the streets of Phoenix. And this is news how? And this is news why? I don't know if these four individuals had families. I suspect one or more of them did. And every member of those families has the right to look the suits at the two TV stations squarely in the eye and say, what kind of boneheaded decision was this? You dumbass. You murderous bastard. But, of course, the other side of this is that right now, rather than dealing with horrible, horrible, horrible grief, somewhere in the structure of whomever owns KNXV-TV and KTVK, there's an accountant and a lawyer, and they've got their pointy little heads put together, and they're worrying about liability and not human lives. That is the corporate America that we've created. That is the news culture that we have allowed to perpetuate itself on our TV screens. Why did Wolf Blitzer need footage of a car chase, of a white truck slowly pulling a trailer and being pursued by Phoenix's finest? Why did Wolf Blitzer need it? Why does Fox News need it? Why did the why would you break in on local television to show this? When, for public safety purposes, the simplest thing would be to put out a statement saying, if you're anywhere near this street, get the hell away from it because there's a police chase coming through. It's just one of those examples of what has gone so horribly, horribly wrong in America. Ted Turner invented the 24-hour news channel. Ted Turner invented CNN. This was not his vision of what a 24-hour news cycle looked like. Because it's not news. Cops chase cars all over America every day. But it's the culture, it's the so-called news culture, because there's nothing journalism about this that demands that professional news gatherers go into the air to hover over slowly moving vehicles. Because the American people have been told that that is what constitutes news. And it's not. It's nothing more than tragedy. And tragedy waiting to happen. Not hearing any more thunder. We might hook the phones back up. We'll go to the news, and while the news is running, we will have a look at things, and maybe we'll fire the phones up. If you want to, chime in. I'd be interested to have your thoughts. I'm not in any wise trying to sensationalize, and I hope I haven't, these four horrible deaths. Rather, I would like to see the blame for it. Because already they're saying, well, it's pilot error. And maybe it was. But I'd like to see the blame for it placed more properly where it is. And I'd like to see America become a serious nation again, instead of a nation of reality TV and talent shows. It's part of what we're trying to do here at the Horn. is engender serious discussion. And where our information is concerned, nothing could be more serious than this. Because on the definition of what is news will hinge the future of the Republic. It already does. Is this news? Is there any justification for this kind of conduct, sending up pilots to go chase slow-moving white trucks pulling trailers? Because why? Because if we don't see it, it isn't real anymore? You know the falsity of that because you're listening and you're using your brain. And you're letting your brain do the work that your brain was made to do. You're not sitting there being spoon-fed and making the mistake of thinking that it's somehow journalism. This is The Horn. This is America's liberal voice. I'm Bob Kincaid.
I lost my power in this world. So I didn't know use it. So I go insane, like I always do. And I call your name. She's a
This is the Quality News Network. The Dow slipped again today, down 208 points. We'll have the latest numbers from Wall Street coming up in our business block. Congress overwhelmingly voted to pass the Homeland Security Bill. The vote was 371-40. The bill contains security measures and funding that the 9/11 Commission recommended. It provides more federal money to high-risk cities and states. Congress sent the bill to the president late today. Near Islamabad's Red Mosque, a suicide bomber killed at least 13 people and wounded dozens more. The mosque had just reopened after a bloody army siege last week. Earlier today, militant Islamic students clashed again with the army, demanding the return of a pro-Taliban cleric. The Shiite-led Iraqi governments dismissed demands made by the Sunni political bloc for more say in matters there. The spokesperson for Prime Minister Nouri al-Maliki accused the minority group of blackmail because it's threatening to pull out of the coalition government. Afghan elders are negotiating with Taliban militants who are holding 22 South Korean missionaries, many of whom are reported to be ill. A South Korean presidential envoy has been sent to discuss the release of the prisoners who were kidnapped last week. Local Afghan officials say NATO airstrikes in the southern part of the country have killed between 50 and 60 people. Vice President Dick Cheney will undergo a procedure to have a new defibrillator implanted tomorrow. The current one's battery needs to be replaced. Former Soviet President Mikhail Gorbachev criticized the United States today for causing disorder around the world by trying to build an empire. The former leader singled out President Bush in particular. The State Department announced the U.S. and India have reached an agreement on a civilian nuclear cooperation deal. The negotiations took more than a year. It's believed a release of nitrous oxide during a test in the Mojave Desert caused an explosion that killed three people yesterday and critically injured three others. It happened at an airport where a private aerospace company was working. All of the victims were employees of the company, which constructed the first privately built rocket to fly in space. In Phoenix, Arizona, two television news helicopters covering a police pursuit crashed into each other in midair. Both crashed and burned. Four people died. Police say the man they were chasing may be held accountable for the deaths. You're listening to the Quality News Network, Science and Business, coming up.
Huelhauser talks to customers of First National, South Valley, and San Benito Banks, local members of the network of preferred community banks.
We're here to talk with people about their local banking.
I just wonder why you think it's important to bank
in a local bank?
Because it's here in our community, in our area, and we tend to find that they have the best service for us. They are always there when we need them.
Do you like the idea that it's a local bank with big bank services and benefits?
You get all the benefits of the big banks, but you walk in, people know who you are.
Yeah. Now, it's a community bank, but it's part of a network of banks.
Absolutely. They have the resources, but, of course, the personal touch of a local bank.
I am here once a week, yes.
Taking money out.
Taking money out and putting it in and taking it out.
So you're doing a lot of banking in here.
I carry it in wheelbarrow.
Above and beyond banking from the network of preferred community banks. Available locally at First National Bank of Central California, South Valley National Bank, and San Benito Bank.
Spot checks by the FDA and state officials have found cans of possibly tainted food are still sitting on store shelves and are still selling to consumers a week after a recall went out. Castleberry's food company recalled more than 90 products over botulism fears. A new study on the use of marijuana finds that even limited use can increase the chance of becoming seriously mentally ill by 40%. The research appears in the British medical journal The Lancet. A federal judge ordered the former chief of Quest Communications to pay back $52 million that he earned through illegal stock sales. Joe Nocio will also serve 6 years in prison. Nocio knew the company faced serious financial problems and sold his stock illegally. The judge fined him $19 million as well. Bottled water that comes from the tap will now have to say so on the label. PepsiCo will change its Aquafina labels to indicate the water comes from a public water source, just like tap water. Americans spent over $2 million on Aquafina, $2 billion on Aquafina last year. Analysts say Wall Street is still worried about deal financing difficulties, and that sent the market lower despite a good report on the economy. The close of Wall Street, the Dow ended down 208 points at 13,265. The NASDAQ closed down 37, the S&P down 24. There's more at our website, qualitynewsnetwork.com. I'm Laurel Crisson.
Tonight's final hour of Head On begins now. 1-877-4-HEAD-ON. That's 1-877-443-2366. Here's Buck.
Well, there you have it. Were you listening to the QNN news? I just heard our good friend Laurel Crisson announce that Phoenix authorities have said they may blame the man that the cops were chasing in the deaths of the four individuals in the helicopters. Well, of course they would. Why not? I mean, it would be entirely too complicated and unpleasant and embarrassing to blame the actual people who were at fault for sending them into the air, wouldn't it? It would be entirely too messy if we were to start a national debate about why we send up helicopters to cover slow-moving police chases, wouldn't it? But I don't know. We'll see a blip here and there, and whoever the guy was that was doing whatever he was, we just don't know, because that story itself wasn't important enough to report. It got one line in the story about the crash, what the guys were actually chasing. And even that didn't make any sense. See if you can pull any sense out of it. At the time of the crash, local news stations were covering the police pursuit of a white truck towing a trailer through the streets of Phoenix. The suspect was holed up in a building, Police Chief Jack Harris said. Well, then, who was driving the vehicle they were chasing if the suspect was holed up in a building? I don't know. Maybe this is why we can't do real journalism, because nobody knows how to write anymore. Lord. Nope. That's what needs to happen. Somebody needs to swear out a forthwith warrant right quick, naming the two chief executives of the two TV stations, and put their ass behind bars for a couple of nights, next to the guy who was holed up in the building or else was driving a truck with a trailer behind it. We don't know which. Nah, it's not going to happen. You can't punish the moneyed class in this country. You can't hold people responsible for the evil that they do. Hell, we can't even get a former Bush administration official to show up for a subpoena. No claim of privilege, no nothing, just don't show up. That, by the way, in case I didn't mention it, it turns out is a federal felony. It's called witness tampering. And the Bush administration committed it. Bush directly committed it because it was because Harriet Myers and Josh Bolton didn't show up on his orders. Meanwhile, a little bit of breaking news for you. Dateline Burbank, California, via United Press International, Michael Moore says that the Bush administration has served him with a subpoena regarding his trip to Cuba during the making of his new film, Sicko. The Oscar-winning filmmaker, who appeared Thursday on NBC's The Tonight Show with Jay Leno, said he was notified about the subpoena at the network studios in Burbank, California. Quote, okay, this isn't breaking news. My bad. This is yesterday. But still, I haven't even told my own family yet, Moore said. I was just informed when I was back there with Jay that the Bush administration has now issued a subpoena for me. Wow. Does irony come to mind? Am I the only one who's just amazed that the Bush administration would have the nerve to issue a subpoena for anybody after they've pissed all over the law of service of process in this country? But then again, what? Sensitivity for irony? A sense of the absurd is nothing that they've ever been accused of having. Now, what would happen to Michael Moore if he said, I got a phone call from George Bush. You listening, Mike? This could make for some high comedy. If Michael Moore announced publicly, not under oath or anything, just like the Bush administration likes it, never under oath. Michael Moore said, I got this phone call from someone who said he was George Bush. And George Bush told me to ignore the subpoena. And since the legal precedent has been established that George Bush has the power to tell people to ignore subpoenas, I am ignoring this one. What do you think? Is, you know, if we live in a country of laws and not of persons, then this kind of thing matters. If a subpoena applies to Michael Moore, a subpoena applies to Harriet Myers and Josh Bolton, whether it comes from a court of law or from the Congress. A subpoena is a subpoena is a subpoena. Hey, Mike, you've probably got the money to fight it. Why don't you tweak their filthy little noses just a little bit? In that lovely Michigander accent that you have, announce to the world that you received a phone call from George Bush telling you to ignore the subpoena so that you won't be so you won't be showing up. Make this thing come to a head, Michael. Make this thing pop, if you will. Because somewhere along the way, and you've got the bully pulpit to use. You've got as big or bigger bully pulpit than the President of the United States, and you've got a chance to take this subpoena, fold it sideways, and jam it right where the sun doesn't shine. You'll want to be using that rubber glove you're wearing in the promotional materials for Sicko when you do that to George Bush, by the way, Michael. The gall the nerve of the Bush administration to do this? Is nobody talking to anybody else? Because somewhere along the way, this subpoena had to be okayed. Let's ask Alberto Gonzalez whether he was in the loop on that. Hey, maybe that, no, well, I don't know if it would work. Maybe that's what he was talking to. Maybe he was talking to Ashcroft. You know, he said he wasn't talking about the illegal wiretapping program when he went into Ashcroft's room to try to strong-arm him. Maybe he was talking to him, not about Michael Moore, because the timing doesn't work out. Maybe he was talking to Ashcroft about Chong's bongs. We live in an upside-down nation. This is nuts. Because, you see, he's being... And the reason for the subpoena is because of the bit in the movie where he takes some sick 9/11 rescue workers for medical treatment in Cuba. And I had a conversation with our good friend John Fox, whom we hope sincerely will be back on the air soon as he gets his new internet service fired up. And I said, you know, Michael Moore did this specifically to take a sharp stick and poke it at the administration. Because he could have taken these people to France for the same kind of medical care. He could have taken them to Sweden. He could have taken them to England. He could have taken them to Germany. He could have taken them to any number of civilized countries that have civilized medical care programs. But he chose Cuba. Now, the pretext he used was that, you know, he was down there anyway because he wanted to take them to Guantanamo Bay, where the terrorists are getting free medical care that Republicans have talked about ad nauseam. And that while he was there, he didn't want to waste the trip, so he just went ahead and got them treated in Cuba. Now, the basis for any prosecution of Michael Moore will be that he spent American dollars in Cuba. Now, Flush Flemball, the oxymoron, probably has a humidor that is chock full of Cuban cigars. They are illegal not just to purchase, they are illegal to possess. Michael, you can have more fun with this subpoena. These dumbasses in the Bush administration have no idea what an opportunity they have handed you. If they want to make inquiry as to whether or not you spent American dollars in Cuba, raise hell. Subpoena Flush Flemball. Get a subpoena Dukas Tecum issued for Flush Flemball to bring his cigar humidor, and we'll count the bands that have the word Habana, H-A-B-A-N-A, on them. This is just... Good God. Or, you know, start out by saying you'll ignore the subpoena because George Bush told you to. Make Tony Snow hobble his feeble, dying ass out to the podium to say that George Bush never placed such a phone call. Because then, Michael, you can subpoena him to make George Bush say under oath that he didn't, because at that point it's a swearing contest between you and him. And until such time as you have taken an oath, you're not committing perjury. And as long as you don't say it to the FBI, you're not giving false information to the FBI. Or making false statements, the charge for which Scooter Libby, among others, was convicted. Oh, I like this a lot. I wish my voice went out just a little bit further than it does. Because I would just love to see Michael Moore take all of this and run with it. Because George Bush can't go head to head with Michael Moore because Michael Moore is quite intelligent and George Bush isn't. He is, in a word, after all, a moron. So, you know, mercy. This has all kinds of possibilities written all over it. Bill O'Reilly would probably soil himself on the air having a hissy about it. Oh, Michael, please, somebody out there, tell Michael Moore, just go to the archive. You know, we don't charge for the archives. We're nice people. Go to tonight's archive, Michael. Listen to the instructions. You can have a wonderful time with this. You thought you had fun during Fahrenheit 9/11? You thought you'd been having fun chewing on Wolf Blitzer's skinny ass? This is the fun one, Michael. Yeah, I got this phone call from somebody who said he was George Bush. He sounded like George Bush. He told me to ignore the subpoena. So I'm ignoring the subpoena. What a blast that would be. If they jail you, we'll start a national liberation movement for you, Michael, and demand that your sentence be commuted just like Scooter Libby's. Oh, this... There is no end to the fun you can have with this, Michael. If only I... You know, I've been trying to get Michael Moore on this program for... longer than this program's been going in its current incarnation. Tough to do. I gotta tell you. Tough to do. But this one, if only. He could turn the entire corrupt American judicial system on its ear and make it obvious for everyone to see exactly how corrupt it is. Just a pity. It's just a pity I can't reach Michael. What a pity. A quick email from our friend Cindy in Washington State. When I hear a story like the chopper crash, and if I want the lowdown, I find out where, and I go to Google to find the local station, then I see what the locals have to say. It's too much work for those rich newsies who sit at the desk on our TV set, so you have to do the digging yourself. As far and provides me a link as far as the details to the chopper crash are concerned. This describes the chase as a high-speed chase. How high speed can it get with a truck pulling a fifth-wheel trailer? This is... Witness Mary Lewis said she was stuck in traffic with her four grandsons and was watching the helicopters, turned to talk to the children, and then saw a fireball in the air when she looked again. She looked up. She said, I looked up, and I see this boom, and I see one of the helicopters coming down, and I said, oh, my God. She said she went to the crash site to help, but there was nothing she could do. There's nothing there, just burned up stuff. This is just yuck. Meaningless death. All right. By the way, I hooked the phones back up, come what may. You want to get involved? Last chance to babble before the weekend comes. Barring, of course, Strictly Confidential coming up at 9 p.m. Eastern Time. 304-658-5453 or 877-443-2366. Jump right in if you want to, if the spirit moves you. I'm Bob Kincaid. Home in the valley.
There's one place on the web you can go that's so topical, you can apply it liberally. WD40.com. WDYAD40.com. Vlad, Wally, and Doofy are there. They're working hard every day to give you updates in news, politics, and a great sense of humor. So stop on by and see the boys at WD40.com, a place where you can raise your voice and be heard. WD40.com. Your one-stop shop for all things progressive.
Recently on the Guy James Show on the Head On Radio Network.
If you have tuned into this program by mistake right now, and you are a Republican, a right-wing Republican specifically, before this program is over, I do want to warn you, you're going to think that I'm the devil. You're going to think I've got horns and a red cape because I hate the Bush administration and everything they stand for. So be warned right away, okay? You're all warned right now that that's where we're coming from today.
Don't miss Guy James, weekdays, 3 to 5 Eastern Time, on the Head On Radio Network.
Brought to you by the Republican National Committee. George W. Bush, Maximum Decider.
We keep the evildoers down at Gitmo because they're dangerous. Terrorists learn better when they got panties on their heads and stripes on their backs like the grill marks on a ribeye. If we don't do that, they'll kill you. Because they hate your mama, and they hate your Bible like they hate your friends. Fear. It's what's for dinner.
Hey, have you got a minute?
Huh?
I'm going to say a word. You tell me what comes to mind. Are you ready?
Okay.
Tchaikovsky.
Gesundheit. Okay, what's the word?
No, see, that is the word. What does Tchaikovsky make you think of?
I don't know. Allergy season?
Hey there, how you doing?
What's up?
Who's Martha Graham?
She invented the graham cracker.
No kidding.
Yeah, before her there was only soda crackers.
Hard to imagine. Hey, young lady.
Yeah?
Does the name Man Ray mean anything to you?
Duh. The man ray is a kind of poisonous jellyfish, and it lives in the Gulf of Mexico.
Aha.
It's very deadly.
Are your kids as well-rounded as they could be? Kids who participate in the arts do better in school and in life. To learn more about the value of arts education, visit AmericansForTheArts.org. Because all kids should get to appreciate Tchaikovsky's music, Martha Graham's dance, and Man Ray's photography. Art. Ask for more. A public service message brought to you by Americans for the Arts and the Ad Council.
I never knew that everything was falling through, that everyone I knew was waiting on a cue to turn and run when all I needed was the truth. But that's how it's got.
Twenty-nine minutes past the hour, and okay, fair enough. I'll just filibuster my way to the end of the program. I got plenty, believe me. I got plenty. The helicopter crash was kind of an impromptu thing because it just sort of grabbed me and gave me a case of the blind shivers. If you haven't been by, I found it at Huffington Post. I don't know where else it is now, but if you haven't been by and seen. Max Blumenthal and Thomas Shoemaker's new film, about new video about the Christian right and their Israeli obsession. You can find it by looking for the posts by Max Blumenthal at Huffington Post and watch this film. Do it, I don't know, with a stiff shot of liquor at hand because you're gonna want it or something. The little cold water on the back of the neck and the code, you know, whatever. But you're going to need something to get you past this film once you watch it. Because, and by the way, Thomas Shoemaker, we've tentatively, I've formally set aside time. this coming Wednesday to talk to him during prayer meeting about this this video. If I had been, I'd still be in the showers if I'd been Thomas and Max, trying to just scrub the ick off from attending this conference. No. That's no. Before anybody, he's being anti-Semitic. No. I'm talking about the fake Christians attending. I'm talking about that multi-millionaire who lives in humongous mansions that have to be humongous because he's humongous too. That big old pussle gutted John Hagee, who knows less about what is actually written in Scripture than a hog knows about Sunday suits, who has managed to con thousands upon thousands of Americans out of their hard-earned dollars because they think that they're supporting Israel. You got to see this film. And in this film, a question is asked about end times eschatology. Fancy words for making Jesus come back whether he wants to or not. And the Israeli ambassador, a guy named Dor Gold, says, well, everybody's got some sort of religious eschatology, but there is only one person who's trying to force the end times, and that's Mahmoud Ahmadinejad. Poor little Dor Gold has not hung out with the Christian right for very long, it's obvious. Because, among others, Pat Robertson has repeatedly written about how much he looks forward to the end times when Jesus comes back and the Jews that don't confess the Godhead of Christ will be put to the sword. And he's hoping he gets to wield the sword. But that business about how he's the one who, only Ahmadinejad wants to hustle in the end times, or his particular version of the end times, I suppose, is a big old dirty lie, first of all. And I couldn't help but think about this when I saw a little story in the Washington, or the New York Times today. Headlined, U.S. to announce nuclear exception for India. Now, do you remember when our good friends John Fox and Bruce Birch had so very much fun talking about March Mango Madness? Because we were going to trade nuclear technology and fuel to India for mangoes? I remember that. It was quite funny at the time. In a sort of Doctor Strangelove, Grim Gallows humor kind of funny way. Well, this story is U.S. to announce nuclear exception for India. Now, the Bush administration crafted the law, wrote the treaty, put everything in place, got the Republican Congress to pass it, and now they can't even live within the terms of their own law. 3 years after George Bush urged global rules to stop additional nations from making nuclear fuel, the White House will announce on Friday that it is carving out an exception for India in a last-ditch effort to seal a civilian nuclear deal between the countries. Why the hell does the United States need a civilian nuclear deal with India? Well, the short answer to that is the United States doesn't need a civilian nuclear deal with India, but the United States nuclear business interests very badly want a civilian nuclear deal with India. Until the overall deal was approved by Congress last year, the United States was prohibited by federal law from selling civilian nuclear technology to India because India refused to sign the Nuclear Non-Proliferation Treaty. Okay, so they trashed that law just like they trashed the Geneva Conventions. The legislation passed by Congress allows the United States to sell both commercial nuclear technology and fuel to India in return for mangoes. Okay, I added that part. The mangoes part. The rest of it's true. But would require a cutoff in nuclear assistance if India again tests a nuclear weapon. India's parliament balked at that language. And so George Bush, being the cheese-eating surrender monkey that he is, said, okay, we'll go beyond the terms of the deal that Congress approved. Now he's promising to help build India a nuclear fuel repository and to find alternative sources of nuclear fuel in the event that America cuts off the access to the nuclear fuel. Does that make any sense to you?
under the arrangement that's to be announced by kind of sleazy Rice, Bush will go beyond the terms of the deal that Congress approved. Holy Moses. And we're worried about Iran getting a nuclear bomb? India already has one and is telling us to stick it up our tuchuses if we don't do exactly what they tell us. And we don't have, and we have utterly no interest whatsoever as a people in this deal. I got nothing against India. I have a great reverence for India. It is, in fact, the largest democracy on planet Earth. It's interesting to see if they can keep it going without it turning totalitarian, as many democracies do, as ours has. Bob, it's a republic. Okay, our republic's turned totalitarian, but it's founded upon democratic principles of representative government. There. Happy, right-wingers? This is astonishing to me. You know, I know, and the reason I sort of tied the video about Koofy. Oh, you have to watch this video. You have to watch. It'll make you go all the way through it. But when you see the woman, the not particularly aesthetically, well, her fashion sense is aesthetically challenged, and she's wearing this blue satin thing that she made on the Sears sewing machine at home, and she's doing like Grateful Dead dancing, you know, where you're on the ecstasy and the LSD at the Dead show 15 years ago, and you're like with the arms windmilling and crap like that, and she's just sort of dancing to the music in her head all by herself. Mama. But there's a connection between something like this and something like that. Those people spent a couple of days absolutely soiling themselves, just itching for a way to force Iran's hand into a shooting war. But I have to ask the rational question, and I don't know, maybe someday Mark Levine, because Mark is as far away from my point on this issue as we can get. That's what makes the horn so beautiful. Maybe we can debate this. Why shouldn't Iran be nervous? It's got Pakistan nuclear to the teeth with a sect that hates its guts to the north. It's got India to its east, again, nuclear power with a bunch of Muslims who hate their flavor of Islam with every breath. And on top of it all, you've got Israel, who has probably 100 or 200, if not more, maybe 1,000 nuclear weapons. And won't even admit they have them. And won't sign a nuclear non-proliferation treaty. And won't denounce the idea of using nuclear arms as a first strike weapon. Now, I'm trying to strip all the religious chicanery and BS away from it and just look at countries versus countries. If you were the leader of a country and had an adversarial country not too far from you that met all of those criteria, couple of hundred nuclear weapons, refusal to admit they exist, refusal to sign the Nuclear Non-Proliferation Treaty, and refusal to denounce first strike, wouldn't you feel like that maybe it would be in your best interest to have your own nuclear deterrent? Now, is that irrational? I don't think I'm feeling pretty rational about all of this, because this isn't about religion. This isn't about Mahmoud Ahmadinejad's saber rattling has to do with the price of oil, not the presence of Jewish people in Palestine. It's good for business for him to come out and rattle sabers, just like it's good for business for George Bush to come out and rattle sabers. As Abe Vigoda said in The Godfather, tell Michael I always liked him. It was only business. Let's go to the phones. Preston's calling from Denver. Hey, Preston, welcome to the program.
Hi, Bob.
Hi, how are you? Bye. Before anything, thank you for the care package. I'm enjoying it immensely.
Oh, good. Good. I'm glad you got that. Regarding Ahmadinejad, I wanted to mention, do you know Juan Cole, that Middle East analysis?
Yes.
Analyst?
Mm-hmm.
He knows Farsi, or knows people who know Farsi, and he translated that, what came to be an infamous comment from him that was translated as, he said he wants to wipe Israel off the face of the map. Remember that?
Yes.
And that was repeated over and over and over again. It's still being repeated. But Juan Cole looked into it, and the actual translation is more akin to erasing the, I think, the occupying regime out of history, which would be similar to what the ANC was saying about apartheid. They wanted to, you know, take the apartheid regime out of history, basically, end it. So
there's a far cry between that and I want to rain nuclear death on Israel.
Right. And you're exactly right. They have, the Iranians are the ones who should feel under threat. They are. And beyond threat, they've experienced actual naked aggression against them, like our overthrow of their democratically elected president, Mossadegh. Now we have them surrounded by bases, military bases in all of their neighboring countries. We've got battleships close by, close enough for a bunch of cruise missiles and the rest of it.
We've got a third, what was it? I had the story a week or so ago, Preston. Upwards of maybe a third to half, maybe two-thirds of our entire Navy is in the Persian Gulf region right now.
Yep.
I mean, talk about putting all your eggs in one basket.
Yep. And we fight a media war against them constantly. We're constantly trying to force our satellite images onto their television sets, you know. And, you know, frankly, I think part of our media actually could be helpful. I think there's an element of our media that is very progressive and intelligent in a lot of ways. But there's other parts of it that is degrading and manipulative. And often, Rand Eisler has written about this, how it often mixes violence and sex, integrates those two in gross ways. You know, I never knew how many movies Jean-Claude Van Damme has been in until I started watching the Spanish station here in Denver. I mean, I don't know. It's not good work, I'll say that much.
No.
But
I think the only Jean-Claude Van Damme film I ever enjoyed was Bloodsport, and that was a long time ago.
Okay. Well, I think the action-adventure genre, I think some of it's, boy, there's a lot of propaganda going on in that.
Oh, you're absolutely right. I sat down and watched the other night, Preston, 300. I know, I'm a little slow to get to the...
Okay.
But I sat down and watched that, and I have never seen a more bigoted, racist, homophobic piece of filmmaking in my entire existence. Now bear in mind, we're talking about the invasion by the Persians of the Greek peninsula.
Uh-huh.
Okay, in what, 584 BC? Persians are, generalizing here, Persians are white people. But all the Persians were dark-skinned.
Okay.
And what's more, of course the Spartans spoke with what appeared to be thick Scottish brogues. Then on top of it, you get to King Xerxes, and we've got there are stelae out there, there are carvings and statues, and we got a general idea of what Xerxes looked like.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
Well, that didn't bother the producers of 300 because they had a racial agenda to foster.
Okay.
Xerxes comes across as this 8-foot-tall, piercing devotee drag queen who has broad, effete, feminine hand gestures and stereotypical voice characterization that the homophobes like to refer to.
Right.
He is, in a word, mincing. Okay.
Okay.
Because I'm fascinated with the real story of the Battle of Thermopylae.
Yeah.
And this was just a slash 'em up melee that had about as much relationship to Thermopylae as I don't know, me playing in the yard has to do with the Anzio landings.
Yeah.
But you're absolutely right. The action genre is used to pursue an agenda. Look at this latest Bruce Willis piece of crap, Live Free or Die Hard.
Right, right.
And there are people sitting in theaters going, dang straight, Bruce.
Yeah. It's a shame. But more recently, I found a really good movie, speaking of drag queens and stuff like that. It's called Small Town Gay Bar, and it's about how throughout the South and the heart of the Bible Belt, here and there people are opening gay bars kind of on the outskirts of town, and it takes a lot of courage, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And but generally speaking, it works out pretty well, and some of the people are more accepting than people may have assumed at times, you know.
Yeah.
And but there's still lots of problems for sure. But I wanted to mention something about Michael Moore. You were suggesting that maybe he should skip the hearing.
No, not skip it, but make a big, great big splashy public announcement about George Bush calling him and telling him to ignore the subpoena. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, I think he you're exactly right on that he could really use that in many ways. And do you think something like that would be shown on C-SPAN? I mean, him testifying?
I can't help but think that there would be a demand for it.
Yeah.
Assuming that it wasn't a closed hearing. I know not so much C-SPAN, but I can almost guarantee Court TV would be on it like a duck on a June bug.
Yeah, definitely. You were also talking earlier about mining and how some of our mining projects don't make any sense.
Mm-hmm.
It does make sense, I mean, in the nuclear weapons industry as well that you were talking about.
Yeah.
The uranium mining industry is so huge and so powerful. And, I mean, we're so worried about, were they trying to get uranium in Niger? And it's like, if we kept the stuff in the ground ourselves, we'd be protecting ourselves. We're creating this own problem for ourselves. In addition to...
Yeah, these are self-inflicted wounds.
Yes.
But that makes entirely too much sense. And I don't know. Do the things that we talk about on this network, is what we're doing here, Preston, way too far over the heads of most of America?
I don't think so.
Well, I'm a little bit scared because I'm looking at a doggone it! I hope this thing isn't gone. I'm looking at a news story. Yeah, here it is. Illiteracy statistics.
Yeah.
50%. I mean, this should anybody interested in having a free and open society, this should give them just the shivers. 50% of adults in the United States cannot read a book written at an eighth grade level. 50%, Preston.
Yep. Well, and that can be debilitating, and in many ways. But at the same time, the oral tradition is so powerful, and there have been societies that weren't literate at all. They didn't write much stuff down, but they spoke to each other in circles all the time, and they passed down their stories verbally.
Mm-hmm.
That's one of the issues that they went after Ward Churchill about. He tried to utilize oral history. There is no written record. Just as Bedouins right now, they're not publishing things on how they're being wiped out, basically, and their camels as well, because of all these cluster bombs they're stepping on. But
right.
The oral tradition...
Well, the funny thing is, in a way, if you get right down to it, the single greatest utilizer of that theory is probably right-wing hate radio.
Yep.
because they rely on people, you know, that, I mean, inherent in the very motto of Fox News, we report, you decide, that if facts are delivered as facts, Preston, there's no decision process. You don't decide which is a fact and which is not a fact. But what happens with right wing talk radio is the very thing that you're describing. It's been raised to a multi-layered broadcast, and I mean that not in the electronic sense, but in the more prosaic sense, broadcast theory, and that is that everybody is sitting in the circle listening to Rush, and he is delivering to them their truth, and they then go out and repeat it themselves.
Yeah.
With no literacy involved, no investigation, no reading, no critical thinking. Everything that the right wing does is dependent on the absence of critical thinking.
Yep. There is a segment of the population that, in a way, wants to be deceived. You know, maybe they have a comfortable living that they don't want to lose. And we can all kind of understand that. And then there's a part of it where, I mean, if you've been engaged in this machine and you've been pulling the trigger on the 50 caliber machine guns and doing the A-10 Warthog bombings and all the rest of it, you know, to look at the naked truth of that, you know, the naked lunch that William Burroughs wrote about, it can be so appalling and horrifying. So there's a psychological thing going on. That's difficult to overcome at times.
You're absolutely right. You bring so many good truths to this to the program. I love these conversations. I've got a couple more people on hold with 8 minutes to go.
Okay.
Preston, thank you so kindly.
One last comment.
Go right ahead, please.
Okay. A website, earthworks2007.com. It's a gathering of a lot of corporate interests and community interests and government interests to work towards a more sustainable society.
Oh, wow.
So it's going on here in Denver, the Earthworks Expo, but even if you're in another town, you might just want to check out the website. It might lift your spirits.
Earthworks2007.com?
Yes.
Okay, I will.
Great.
Thanks a lot, Preston.
Take care. Bye-bye.
Great weekend to you.
You too.
Bye now. And Richard calling from Northern California. Hey, Richard, welcome to the program.
Hello, Bob.
How are you?
Okay. I haven't talked with you in a long time.
It has been a while.
Yeah, and I always mean to call you, and because of the time difference, it's kind of awkward.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, this is the time when people are coming home from from work, and I'm not working, but I still rushed home and thought I'd give you a call. A couple of things on my mind, and I won't be long. One is that I'm at the moment, as I'm talking with you, I'm looking at a map that shows the railroad that's back of you along the Gauley River.
Yes.
And the name of it was the something in Ohio Central, the Toledo and Ohio Central Railroad, which was absorbed into the New York Central. And I was asking myself, what did the New York Central want with that, you know, with that railroad line that's so far away from, you know, where they're usually at?
Coal, man, coal.
I think so. What I come up with is that perhaps they wanted an alternate supply of coal for themselves, for their locomotives.
Well, it could be that, or, you know, you must remember that at one point in time, coal was, and still is to a certain extent, an incredibly cutthroat business. Such that at one point there was a railroad built out of West Virginia over to the eastern seaboard in Virginia that was built in secret with backing by Colonel William Page and, he was a multi-millionaire via Standard Oil named Henry, it's lost on me.
Yeah.
But they built that in secret.
Come in.
Pardon?
Is that the railroad that came into Deepwater?
I believe so, yeah.
Yeah, that's the Virginian Railway.
The Virginian, yeah.
Yeah. That's really interesting because they built a bridge across the Kanawha River at Deepwater and connected with this very railroad I'm talking about. So that forms a through route between Norfolk and Toledo.
And it was developed expressly as a means of circumventing the stranglehold that the Chesapeake and Ohio had on the region.
Exactly. That's what I figured, too. Chesapeake and Ohio was the 98-pound gorilla.
Yeah.
But there must be a fascinating history to all this, and I have no idea what it is.
And that railroad that you're describing is a wonderful, wonderful rail trail now.
Which one is that?
The one that runs along the Gauley River.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, it's all just nice, fine gravel, tunnels, everything. It's a great bike ride. Flat as a pancake for the most part.
I didn't know it was torn up. I could send you a copy of this map if you'd like.
Oh, I'd love to see that.
Yeah. It's an old New York Central map. It's hand-drawn with colors and stuff.
Oh, wow.
I don't know what the purpose... I was digging around and came across it. You know, the other thing I wanted to mention, too, I usually listen to you guys on MP3.
Mm-hmm.
Which means that I'm a number of days behind you, and an advantage of this is that I can listen to the entire program, whereas most people would be tuning in and out. The bad thing about it, of course, is that I'm a few days behind you. I'm listening to the programs in sequence. So I will call up, and in my mind is what you were talking about a week ago. It's like weird stereo.
It's a little bit of a time warp, isn't it?
Yeah. Yeah. And I see wonderful things have been happening today. Like the impeachment of Gonzalez is being talked about.
It is. In fact,
cool?
I didn't even get there.
Huh?
I didn't even get there. But, yeah, it is being talked about some. Special prosecutors are being bandied about. Pat Leahy, chairman of the Senate Judiciary Committee, hasn't signed on to the special prosecutor request yet. But I think that's going to happen.
Well, my topic number two has to do with a certain fascination that I think we all have on the outrages that this administration is pulling, and they commit an outrage, it seems, every single day.
Yeah.
You know, there's some new horror that they come up with, and I think my take is that we need to accept that that's what these people are about. And, you know, we can fascinate on it. We can fasten on it and chew our cuds and bitch and moan and complain. My feeling is that it's time to back away from that perspective and start focusing on what can we do.
I understand that, but by the same token, if you take your eye, you know, they count on us taking our eyes off of them. Because most people aren't watching in the first place. I've mentioned this somewhat briefly.
Yeah.
Maybe last night, and we got to get out of here because we're right up against it.
Yeah.
But it's worth remembering that we can sort of fool ourselves into thinking that somehow because we're paying attention, the rest of the nation is. What goes on here at the Horn, Richard, is extraordinary.
I know that.
And in other liberal talk as well. And we can't make the mistake of thinking that because we the bitch and complain and we point out what they're doing that anybody else is. And I think part of this is we've got to keep that drumbeat up, because if we don't, well, keeping the drumbeat up is the only way that we have of hoping that at some point the rest of America will play along with us.
Mm-hmm.
We got to get out of here. Sorry for the short time. I hope you'll call in a little bit earlier and we can have a little more extended conversation.
I run home earlier.
Do that, please. Take care, Richard.
Bye now.
Thanks to Agnes for producing under odd and truly bizarre circumstances this evening. Thanks to Ben Birch, the hardest working man in liberal talk. WhiteRoseSociety.org. That's why the horn works is in large part because of Ben Birch. Thanks to the United Brotherhood of Carpenters who helped us get this started and are helping to save the American dream. And always, 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 Gina, RMR, it's all for you.
This is the quality. Quality News Network. Two television helicopters covering a police pursuit collided in midair over Phoenix this afternoon, killing all four broadcasters aboard. The man the police were chasing was eventually pulled from a house by the SWAT team. In addition to various felony charges, the man could be held accountable for the deaths of the four newsmen. The 22 South Korean church volunteers being held captive by the Taliban are still alive. Their latest deadline passed earlier. The Taliban is demanding the release of 23 of their fighters from an Afghanistan jail. The leader of the South Korean aid workers was killed this week. NATO airstrikes were called in on Thursday night to assist in a battle in southern Afghanistan. Some 78 people died in the attack. The Reaper is being sent by the U.S. Air Force soon into the war zone in Afghanistan. The weapon-loaded attack drone carries 14 Hellfire missiles or two 500-pound bombs. Previous unmanned planes were only used for surveillance. U.S. Special Forces also called in air support to stop a barrage of rocket and machine gun fire in Iraq today. 12 Shia fighters were killed in the attack. The U.S. target was a 100-member Mahdi Army unit. The Senate has overwhelmingly approved legislation proposed by the 9/11 Commission. $40 billion will be allocated for domestic security in the coming year. A key provision includes closer inspections of air and sea cargo. Michael Vick's relationship with Nike has been suspended, and Reebok, the official uniform supplier to the NFL, has stopped the sale of replica number 7 jerseys. The apparel maker's actions come just a day after the Atlanta Falcons quarterback pled not guilty before a federal judge on felony pit bull fighting charges. Last Saturday, Vice President Dick Cheney briefly assumed the role of commander-in-chief while the president was getting a colonoscopy. Tomorrow, the vice president will undergo minor surgery. He'll have a new battery installed in his pacemaker. Rwanda has abolished the death penalty in order to try genocide suspects. The UN-backed action will now allow countries harboring suspects to turn them over without fear of them being executed. At least 600 Rwandans will have